you must unite what has been set asunder.
We are TFR. Truth Frequency Radio.
Astronauts to the moon.
Ten, nine, ignition sequence start. Six, five, four, three, two.
Not to get off track here, but I feel like we're in the Truman Show, and we're in a snow globe, and they just shook it up.
Welcome to reality.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and children of all ages. You're tuned in to your protection from deception right here on truthfrequencyradio.com. And you happen to be in the right place at the right time for the number one show on TFR on Monday nights from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. Pacific, 9 to midnight Eastern. That show is Jaren is a Monday Night Raw, and it begins now. I'm your host, Jaren from Jarenism. And to my right is the wind beneath my wings and the gas to my engine, the one, the only, Missa. Amazing. Missa, how are we?
I don't like being your gas.
Okay, you are the, I don't know, what do you want to be then?
The frequency for within your,
No, I'm going to go with gas.
Okay.
I think it's better.
Okay. I guess if I can't come up with a better one, that's fine.
Right, yeah, get back to me when you come up with a better one and I'll change that. Okay. We'll go back and edit the show.
Okay.
Tonight's show should be a fantastic one, so thank you for joining us, to everyone out there in the chat, in the various places you might be, in your car, in your bed. You could be in the bath. I don't know. Maybe somebody
on the toilet?
Yeah, if you're in the bath, you should probably keep the radio a little bit away from the tub. That's something I heard. You don't want to have that drop in there.
Yeah, I don't want to do that.
Joining us this evening for 2 hours, in the last 2 hours of the show, from 7 to 9 o'clock, will be the one of the all-time greats, if you ask me, and that is Jordan Maxwell. Mm-hmm. So fantastic show for you guys this evening. Hopefully you enjoy the conversation that we have. Going to be talking a little religion, a little New Testament, and we've also got some very interesting questions for Jordan.
Mm-hmm. This is his second appearance here on our show, isn't it?
At that point, can we call somebody a friend of the show?
A long-time friend?
Yeah,
I think so.
I don't think we have any friends of the show yet. Well, Mark Sargent appeared
Mark
for the second
been on
time.
Twice.
He's a friend of the show.
Yeah. I don't think anyone else has been on twice.
Not as far as guests, I don't think so.
Mm-mm.
Had some callers that have been on numerous times.
Oh, callers are definitely
so
long.
So Chris is a friend of the show.
And, yes. You know, and Mike's a friend.
Mike's a friend of the show. Jason Campbell in the chat room
Naysay
every single
too.
Week. Naysay, those guys are all friends of the show.
Mm-hmm.
So we thank you guys for joining us, and hopefully you will.
And many others.
And many others, yeah. not going to begin to try and name everyone. That would take the entire show, and then nobody would listen next week.
It might only take like 10 minutes, but.
Depends how fast I read them.
Okay.
I could read them very slow.
Yeah.
So we also wanted to just cover, because I knew it was going to happen, that the second I posted on Facebook that Jordan would be on, one of the first two or three comments came back, Luciferian priest, somebody else will say he's a Mason, Grandmaster Mason. I think one of the things that we'll talk to Jordan about that I think is interesting is people's fear, I think, stops them from researching. And sometimes people don't want their paradigm broken. They don't want their preconceived beliefs to go away, where
they became comfortable in it.
Right.
That's normal.
I like the idea of changing my beliefs, because what it meant is usually that I'm getting closer to the truth, right? Mm-hmm. Because if you believe something and you find out it's not true and you do some research on it and then it's shown to you, then it should feel better. So I've always not been afraid of that. One of the things that Jordan has said many times is that knowledge is power, as we've said, and that's why we think that the entire deception that's upon mankind started from this idea of, as long as these people in power have the knowledge and the people below them don't, it allows that structure to exist.
Mm-hmm.
as soon as you're on an equal playing field with those who are enslaving you, it doesn't really work anymore.
The power goes away.
Right.
From the, well, the power goes back to where it should be, which is with each person rather than a group of people over another group of people.
Right. And I mean, we got the same kind of comments when we mentioned Aleister Crowley. And what I was trying to tell people is I don't see a problem with reading the books that he wrote. I've learned a lot through reading those. And there's some things that I simply, because of my own personal beliefs, will not do. I will not try and conjure up demons. I will not paint a pentagram around me and sit in a dark room and chant the 72 ineffable names of God, you know, all this nonsense.
Yeah.
Because not because I think that demons will appear so much, but just that I do think if there was anything that wouldn't be allowed, it should be that. Yeah. But I do like to read people's works who say they did, because at least I'm getting an insight into what they say happens, and I can choose for myself what to believe and what not to believe.
Whether or not they're telling a story that they made up in their heads or it's something they actually experienced, you know, you should be able to, or at least we are, I think we're able to decipher between those things and leave the bad and take the good from things.
Absolutely. That should be everyone's intention, is that once you've got a firm foundation built of what you believe in and what matches your reality, then what you can do is you can take new info and hear it and process it through kind of your own filter, to where if it matches your previous research and it matches what you believe in and it seems to fit reality, then you can add it to your, you know, your box of truth.
Right. But that all starts with knowing why you believe what you believe and whether or not you came to that conclusion on your own.
Right. Which is, you know,
and that's the, and from there, then we can, you can start opening up your mind to,
that's the first step. And it was tough for us because, again, we grew up Christian and we were told that anything coming from outside of that doctrine was from the devil.
Yeah.
That is an extremely handcuffing concept.
Yeah.
Concept. Get it? So
it's a good way to keep people from leaving your
cult.
Yeah.
And really, if something is true, then it will stand up to scrutiny. It will stand up to questioning. It will stand up to research. And there's some parts of what we were taught that did not. And if we would have never looked outside of that, both of us were timid in our beliefs. We were questioning, well, I believe this, but kind of don't. But, you know, I was told this, and I'm not sure if I believe it. And once we erased that and said, let's start from scratch, and then built from that an understanding and a good foundation, a foundational set of beliefs, then we were able to better forge ahead. And it's the most freeing feeling you can have.
Yeah, and I would say more so than establishing our, you know, a base of beliefs. It's really establishing our method of going forward. Like, how are we going to analyze every situation or every concept or everything that comes into our path? How we do it, that's eternal. That will last through, that's timeless.
Right.
You know, beliefs and your established, you know, I guess you could say system. No, I would say beliefs. Your beliefs are not stationary. What's the word I'm looking for? Temporary. Mm-hmm. Beliefs are always temporary.
Right, because they can be changed.
Mm-hmm. But your method of
correct.
Of how
of inquiry
you look at things,
or
yeah.
No, and I totally agree with that. I
didn't say that right. I don't think.
Well, it's understood, and I think that for us, it has proven itself time and time again that that's the best method to knowledge, to learning, to, you know, research. And so that's what we're going to do with Jordan tonight, is just talk it out and get a better understanding for where he's been and what he's come to. And then from that,
get his opinion on a few things.
Yeah. You know, because, you know, one of the reasons that we would consider ourselves realists,
I'm a realist,
flat earthers, or whatever you want to denote that.
Non-globe believings.
Right.
Believers.
It is because we also have the capability of reviewing information and making up our own mind. Research is not reviewing information and believing what it says to be true, because sometimes there's deception in play. And in that case, what you read, you need to be able to read it and then put it into test in reality, put it into, you know, research or into experiments or testing. And there is some extreme problems with the idea of a globe. And many people don't see that because they say, well, you can just go look it up and you can just see what these great people of old did. And that's not research, because research needs to be taking that information and then plugging it into reality.
Yeah.
And when you look back and see these quotes by Einstein and Stephen Hawking and George Ellis and, you know, other people like that, that say flat out that there is no test that says that the Earth moves. And then from that, you're able to look at the history of science and see what Edwin Hubble said when he saw that the galaxies were all moving away and had to come up with the reason for it, that they went against observations. Observations clearly show you that you are the center of the universe. But when science has built a study around the idea that there can be no outside influence,
the antithesis of religion, when they've built off of that, then you therein have a religion. So it's kind of a weird twist.
Right, because they've got a dogma, a foundation that probably is very wrong.
Right.
And they don't see that and won't look at it.
It should have been what science was, I think, meant to be, was it should have continued to be just a method of
getting closer to the truth.
Right, not basing it the second they established the basis. That's when their scientific method went out the window.
Right. Yeah, when you start from a faulty premise or a faulty foundation, well, or then your house is going to be sideways and a little bit uneven.
Yeah.
And that's basically what they did and what they continue to do. And that's why you have dark energy and dark matter. And that's why you have these crazy beliefs in the great attractor. And you've got these things that have never been observed. That's why you have a belief in a 93-million-mile sun. That's it's 899,000 miles across. Crazy beliefs that, again, if you're going
They're
to
beliefs,
absolutely. Beliefs. And if you're going to change your observations, if you're going to change what your senses tell you, then you better be given sufficient information and sufficient evidence to change those beliefs. So when you go outside and watch the sun, which is clearly moving across the sky, you have to just kind of settle for the, oh, well, I guess science tells me it's me spinning, and so that must be true. Well, then that's your fault. And I think Miss and I were talking before the show, and she said something interesting about people. She said, you know, it's not really people's fault because we were all taught this way, and I agree with her to one extent. But on the other hand, I say, well, once you've been given new information or somebody comes to you and says, hey, this could be true, or have you thought about this? If you choose not to go and look into it, you just choose to shut it down, then it kind of is on you. And, you know, it's the same thing for me that, you know, when you said, do you think the Earth could be flat? And I told you were crazy.
Yeah.
It, you know, that's you saying something to me, and me just shutting it down because of my preconceived notions, my cognitive dissonance. Nope, that cannot be true. There's no way. Sorry. And that becomes my fault at that point. You know, if I didn't fully look into it further down the road, then I think that is on me.
Yeah, I agree. I think that with the idea of a new perspective on something as extreme as the shape of the Earth, or maybe even only, it's only a matter of time that I think it takes some people longer than others, but it's only a matter of time that you start to see
the deception.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because because it's really there for you to go and look at for yourself. It's not a belief system that you have to believe in. It's you go out to the ocean and the horizon's flat. You stand on the ocean and there's no spinning going on.
Right.
You know, you cannot fly up into the sky and touch the sun or whatever and see that it's 93 million miles away. So it's like, it's that. It's only a matter of time if you let yourself, you know, go down that road. It's only a matter of time that you realize that the deception's.
You just need to take the time to think about it. And I don't think enough people, that's something we were never given that opportunity. That's why they teach it to you in first grade.
We were never taught how to. We were given information.
Correct.
Not given methods of inquiry or whatever.
Yep. So when you have these beliefs that you have to be ready to have them changed. And that's something that certainly wasn't taught in school. It was taught to you that there's certain facts. There's certain things that are not questioned. And all of us in school, you know, I dare say all of us, sat there and thought that we were being given truth. We were being given truth from teachers. Our job was to sit in the desks to get the truth and then repeat it back on tests. And that is not the correct way to teach students. That is not the way that you find truth. That's the way that you are deceived. When you take the words of others and you chalk them up as facts and put them in your fact box, mm-hmm. and then it creates a problem when anybody comes from an outside source saying something different, mm-hmm. because your first response is no.
Is you're crazy.
You're crazy. What are you talking about?
I learned and repeated and memorized all this stuff from school that experts had proven years and years ago and still prove today and da 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 da. Was it Bill Nye that we were listening to yesterday? He said something interesting because he was in some interview and he said someone asked him, hey, how do we get people to understand, you know, the science of, I don't know what it was.
Mars
or some global warming or something.
Oh, maybe it was global warming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he was like, well, you just got to get the message out there. And I was thinking, no, that's not how. You need to show people the science, and then they'll see, okay, so you guys did this, 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 and this, and this shows this, this, and this. Instead, they have their little messenger boys come out and say, here's what the experts have done. It's the truth. You need to believe it, or you're crazy.
Yeah, it was about the global warming because they were asking him, you know, why don't you just do the science? Why don't you just
show us what you guys have proven?
Right.
Yeah.
Not just go around being a mouthpiece and being a bully, which is basically what science has become, which is if you don't believe what we believe, then you're an idiot. You aren't on the same level as me because you don't believe the Earth is 4.54 billion years old. But when you dig into why the Earth is 4.54 billion years old, and you dig into the ideas of evolution and the ideas of the Big Bang, you know, it's funny because when they say, oh, well, we can go back to 1/100th of a split second after the Big Bang.
It's like, oh, yeah.
The reason they can do that is because they say at that moment, every single thing that there is in the universe. So let's look at from a Glober's perspective. We're talking every planet, every star system, which is a sextillion stars, that all of that was created in that 1/1000th of a second after the Big Bang. It isn't like the Big Bang happened and a bunch of things started being created. It's that everything was created in that second.
Everything, all the...
Everything.
Like the DNA that was going, that was in everything, or everything?
Everything like that is in existence came into existence in that 1/1000th.
Not like
of
the ingredients for everything to be made was in that one instance.
Nope, everything was made.
Okay.
Well, I mean, you weren't made.
Yeah.
But so you know, the ingredients of you was made.
Oh, yeah. Right, okay.
But just that is a crazy thought, and
that's
why.
I'm not stupid. It's just, it is extraordinary, which,
yeah.
Where's the extraordinary evidence other than their equations on a piece of paper?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. That you can't go back in time. You can't look back and see that. Again, I use the idea of a candle, which is, you know, if you've measured how long it takes for a candle to burn, mm-hmm. and you say, okay, that candle takes 20 hours to burn completely down.
Okay.
And then later you find that candle half burned. You can't just look at that and say, okay, well, this candle came from 10 hours ago, because somebody could have burned the candle for 2 hours and then went a week and then blew it another. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So, I mean, it's the same kind of thing. They're just looking at the whole thing and making assumptions about it when they have no idea what the atmosphere was like.
Yeah.
They can say they do.
With the basis of no intervention, right? They have to have that as
right.
their basis.
Nothing
could have come in and blew out the candle and then relit it, sort of idea.
Correct. There couldn't be any difference in the amount of argon in this, you know, in the atmosphere. So it's just, it's a belief and it's an agreed upon story.
Yeah.
And therefore it's very easy for science to act like an authority, mm-hmm. because technically they are.
They are.
They are the authority. If you give somebody the ability to decide exactly what is true and what isn't, then they are the authority, mm-hmm. and what you have is what we get, which is scientific-minded people, mm-hmm. people who've usually turned their back on religion at some point in their life,
yes.
went to the belief in science, mm-hmm. and had the ability to just simply shut down their thinking process, because you don't need to think anymore when you believe in science. Mm-hmm. You can just go around and call people who believe in religions religitards.
Yeah.
You can go around and say how idiotic it is for these people to believe in things that are outside of the works of science. You can refer people to Wikipedia whenever you need to be proven correct. You can just say things that science has already agreed to.
Yeah.
And if you're ever wrong, that's the great thing about science, is that, yeah, I was wrong yesterday, but I was right today,
mm-hmm.
because science changed.
Yeah.
So it's an absolute ticket to being a pompous ass,
mm-hmm.
is what it is. And it's
yeah.
not impressive, and it's not brave, and it's mm-hmm. not intellectual. Because Neil deGrasse can, you know, answer questions on a test about astronomy better than I can,
mm-hmm.
does not make him any smarter at anything other than memorizing the words of a book.
Mm-hmm.
That's basically
totally.
It.
And it's a perfect setup for people to, if they don't have to go and do their own research, they have all the research, they have all the quote unquote research and the facts already figured out for them, then it allows them, it sets them up for a life of slavery. Because then if they don't have to think about that stuff, it's already been proven, then I go get my job, I go and have to make money, I invest all of my life and time and money and whatever and energy into my job and what I'm, you know, trying to make money or whatever. And so then you're enslaved to that. And if later on something comes up like a different perspective or, hey, this could be wrong, and that
then your whole life is in question then.
Yes.
And that's why
you have to almost stop what you're doing and go and research it. And you're like, no, it's already been figured out for me. I don't have to worry about it. Shut up, you're crazy.
And
I need to go to work tomorrow, you know?
Some people that their jobs consist of those things.
And those are even more worse.
Right. Yeah. Those are the ones that are going to be the ones who won't even go look. I mean, a Neil deGrasse or a Lawrence Krauss are not going to go look into the curvature formula. They're not going to look into the question of whether or not the Earth can be a globe, because it would require them to first question, has my entire life been a lie? Have I been going around and speaking in front of groups of thousands of people and telling them a lie and pretending like I know that's the truth? They can't even think of doing that.
How much more respect and like genuine respect would he have if he did say, you know what, I'm going to go look into it and then I'm going to report back to you guys and like, hey, look, I was fooled. You know, that would be an awesome thing if these people would
you know
do
what though?
That.
It's awesome to us, but who it's not awesome to is his colleagues. And an example of this is George Ellis. That George Ellis is looked at by other physicists, they don't like him.
As a heretic.
Right. Because he's the one speaking out and saying some things that they would rather not be said.
Mm-hmm. These things that don't want to be spoken of.
Right.
Like what their basis are or whatever.
Right.
In cosmology, right? We're talking about.
Yeah, cosmology and just many things that he says that people need to understand that where we're coming from and that these are based off of philosophical beliefs. And he even says, I don't have a problem with that. But the problem he does have is with not telling people that's the truth.
And saying it instead is based off of fact.
Right.
And things that we have observed.
Or that it's the only thing that observations can say.
Right.
Right.
So they're purposefully hiding their philosophical background of their theories and facts when they should. Like, everybody has their philosophic things, you know, or beliefs. Everyone has to philosophize, you know, in order to come to different conclusions in life. But when you have a group of people saying that they're not, when they are, is a problem.
Right, exactly. When you just look at the world and you just say, well, yeah, I know that we appear to be the center of the universe, but these other things are actually true, that we're just one of these other planets. And, well, okay, what you need to say to people is a possibility is that we're just one of these other things. It is also a possibility that we are the center of the universe because observations show both.
Mm-hmm.
That would be real science.
Mm-hmm.
When you've crafted a science around the fact that, well, I can't be the center of the universe because the next question from somebody will be why,
mm-hmm.
will be who put us here.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not a question science will ever answer. So they have to stay away from...
Because there's no physical answer to it. So they...
Correct. They have
funny.
To stay away from that question even being asked.
Mm-hmm.
So the way that they do that is to make sure that we aren't the center of the universe.
Mm-hmm.
And what do you get? You get people out there, the Reds Rhetorics of the world.
The Bill Nyes and the...
Right, that think that it's already been proven that the Earth goes around the sun.
Mm-hmm.
And just like the globe, like they always say, right? We've always known, or as we know, the Earth's a ball. And
since we already know that the Earth is spinning.
Of course we know that mm-hmm. we go around the sun and the sun doesn't go around us. These are things that are said to kind of... buffer.
Indoctrinate.
Yeah, exactly. is to get you to... believe that those things have been proven and that mm-hmm. those things are the facts.
They just giant leaps over the crucial points of, well, how did we figure that out? They just
right.
giant leap over it and then start from there where their theory begins.
And those are the things I'm talking about. When you actually go back and look at the history of science and the history of cosmology, these are the kind of things that you can come to the conclusion yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So you can still look at scientific data. You can still look at the evidence that they give you. Say, okay, thank you for that. Based on this information and other things that I've studied, I'm coming to the conclusion that some of your studies are a lie,
mm-hmm.
that some of your studies are built up with more evidence than there is.
Are flawed, anything, if we're going to give you that.
And from there, you can come up to your own conclusions. And that's something that a lot of people look at us or look at my videos and say, this crazy fool, he just assumes all these things. He's just saying these things and doesn't know how to research. One Google search will tell you the answer to that question.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it will tell me the answer to the question. If I was being deceived, it will certainly not tell me that I'm being deceived.
Mm-mm.
It will tell me what it wants me to think.
Mm-hmm.
And based on that information, if it matches my reality and it is what it is, well, then I have to accept it. But when it doesn't and it goes against something else that I've discovered or come to the conclusion of, well, then you've got a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where we are with science. And so we do have a break coming up here, and then we'll be back and we'll talk a little bit more about Jordan Maxwell and what our conversation will entail. But we do have some interesting questions for him, some of them concerning the shape of the earth, many of them concerning his beliefs, and some things that are kind of confusing for us, too,
mm-hmm.
when it comes to our beliefs.
Yeah, where do we stand?
That
yeah.
we kind of are on the fence with some things, where sometimes I'll refer to something as satanic, and I mean that it's satanic, but does that mean that I believe in a Satan? And that's kind of where there's
this teeter-totter
going on. And so we want to get Jordan's perspective on some of those things,
mm-hmm.
and it should be a good show.
Yeah, I'm excited.
So we appreciate you guys joining us. This is Jaronism Monday Night Raw. We are here live every Monday from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. Pacific Time, 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern, and we do thank you for joining us.
Rain or shine.
Rain or shine, even if it's snowing mm-hmm. in California, which would be pretty crazy where we live.
Yeah. Even if we died, we would be here.
We would be here live. Broadcasting from the pits of hell.
We have doubles.
Be right back. See you in 2 weeks.
You are now tuned into the truth frequency.
Your protection from deception.
Truth Frequency Radio.
Welcome back. You're listening to Jaron Miller Monday Night Raw. I'm Jaron. I knew that's going to happen.
Well, I wonder why that is. Did we send him a bad file or?
I don't know. We have to listen back to the show. Remind me and see if that, if it does cut out just for us or everyone else.
Okay.
Sorry,
yeah, we'll double check
discussing our problems over here.
Our intro outro music always seems to give us issues.
We have to fix it. We're going to tell you that by next week, it'll all be different.
Yeah, right? It'll be right. Okay. We'll have to make
we're
sure
doing
this
put it,
time.
Put it on the calendar.
Pretty sure we've said that the past, like, 22
Shh, episodes. We don't tell people that.
We've never said this before. So, the first time we were making this promise.
One of the things that we will be asking Jordan tonight, and I first want to ask those of you in the chat room, is this. So, if you're in the TFR chat room, answer this question with an A or a B.
Hmm.
And let's pretend you're betting your life. So, okay. You have to. But you can only choose A or B. There's no C, there's no all of the above, there's no somewhere in the middle.
Okay,
so how old is the Earth? Your two possible answers are A, 4.54 billion years old, or B, 6,000 years old.
So it's a multiple choice question,
multiple
only
choice.
Two answers.
Only two answers.
If you had to put your money on one of them,
right.
Which one would it be?
How old is the Earth? Is it A, 4.54 billion years old? Or B, 6,000 years old, knowing that if it was, you know, it could be the closer two, right? So if it's only 2 billion years old, well, technically 6,000 is the correct answer.
Or if you think, oh, well, I think it's like 100,000, then you're probably going to want to go with 6,000.
Oh, way to go, drone-free zone. He answered C. Of course, somebody would have to do that,
oh,
right?
Boy.
So interesting. Looks like most people are going with B. I do see an A in there, just one. Drone-free zone went 25,000 years. Good. So your answer would be B.
Mm-hmm.
because that's certainly closer, unless my math is extremely screwed up. You know, that's closer to B than it is A. So, yeah, and that'll be interesting to hear what Jordan says about that. Mm-hmm. I certainly would go with B. You know, if I had to bet my life on it, I certainly think that the Earth is not 4.54 billion years old.
At least according to, I mean, yeah, if we're only given those two choices, I would have to go with, can you go, I plead the fifth?
You cannot.
Dang it. That's not an option.
You have to bet.
Only because, and this is the only reason why I say this, why I would plead the fifth in this one, because I think the Earth is always here. Now, in turn, this is what I believe.
Okay, let her think it out now.
Okay, the Earth is always creating, you know, the plants are always growing and then dying, growing and dying, and there's life here. This is where life can be or whatever. So regardless of whether or not human beings are here or either how long they've been here, the Earth could be, for all we know or for all we don't know, could be billions of years old. You know, it could be. So just because it could be here or it could be infinite of, I don't know, it could just be unending. Who knows? But when it comes to, like, how long humans have been here, I mean, we can't base it off of our history that we're given. But if we base it off of, let's base it off of tree life, like the oldest tree in the world right now is, 4,500 years old, I think it is.
Yeah.
So then I would say, okay, well, maybe the Earth is actually only closer to 6,000 years old. That's what I would base that off of.
Another thing, though, is that really tree rings come from seasons. So, again, that's another thing that just because we have seasons now doesn't mean there always was seasons. As crazy as that sounds, if there was just one kind of constant temperature, a tree would not grow a ring. So, you know, again, that's one of those assumptions of the candle that we're assuming that things have always been like they are now. There's always this set up pattern of seasons, in which case a tree grows a ring every season change to protect itself. It, mm-hmm. You know, well, if there was no seasons, then trees would not grow rings. So
right. Or their rings would have bigger spaces in between each ring.
Sure. If like there was a bigger amount of time between the seasons, who knows? You know, that's the kind of thing that we're saying that a lot of what science is like done with mathematics, that just if it's this way now, we can minus it back and we can figure out what it was before.
Yeah.
Right. And even though their stuff comes out with craziness because they tell us nothing can move faster than the speed of light, this is like a known fact in their universe. But at the Big Bang, because when they rewind it, they need it. All of a sudden they say, well, except for at that moment, everything did go faster. And then it gets into this whole mumbo jumbo that is impossible to even understand.
It's just excuse after excuse and explanation after explanation of things that us human beings in this state of mind, we cannot explain. And they just like to have the explanation so we don't have to, initially go looking into anything.
Right. And again, I think one of the most important, and we're going to talk to Jordan about this, is my idea of the complete lie of history. You know, been looking into a lot of what Anatoly Fomenko has written about, and I totally agree just because I went looking for old books. Anatoly Fomenko believes that there is not an accurate written document from before the 11th century.
I believe that.
Yeah, which is, you know, only 1,000 years ago that he thinks that everything before that was either a lie fabricated by basically the Jesuits and the the scribes of the 14th, 15th, 16th century. And I don't disagree because I went looking for books and things that were written back by Aristotle, were written by Plato. And I tried to see, well, what date did they say it was?
Yeah.
And you cannot find that information because all of those books have been rewritten. And when they rewrote them, they wrote the date that they all agreed on. And so you're like, well, then you didn't copy his book.
Yeah.
You changed what he wrote.
And the oldest copies, which would be the oldest actual physical books of these people that we have, are in like the 1700s. And we're talking books written by Aristotle, who was supposedly and allegedly B.C.
And then they'll say, well, I'm copying this from a document from 1300. And then that document will say, I'm copying it from a copy from 800.
Well, show me that document that you copied.
Well, yeah, those are lost in the Great Fire of Alexandria.
How'd they copy them?
They copied them before the fire, and then they kind of, some of the great knowledge was lost, though.
It's just like really, really, really bad when you start looking into all that stuff.
It is. And this is one of the reasons I believe that wholeheartedly is okay. Because if you go to a site, I'll drop this into the chat room right now for those who want to play around with it. It certainly is interesting. This site is a population counter. Okay. And basically what it is you can put in the starting year, the ending year, and then the growth rate of the population. Well, right now, the United States is, I believe, around a 1% growth rate. And sometimes it goes below that to the negative – or not negative, I'm sorry, to the like, you know, half of a percent. But okay. And it's gone up as high as like 2 or 3. But right now it's a pretty steady 1. And I'd say across the world it's a pretty steady 1. So you can put that in. I think it's preset right now at 0.12%. But let's go ahead and put it in at a half a percent. Okay, so that's a 0.05. So that's way less than it is. I'm just trying to grow the population slowly at this point. Okay. And for starting year, I'm going to put that the starting year is 1. And let's just start for ending year at 3,000 years. Okay, so we're saying that the Earth is only – people have only been here for 3,000 years. Okay. Starting population, I'm going to put it 2. And basically what this goes through is a – and people always say, well, does this take into account people dying? Well, yes, that's what a growth rate percentage is. You're taking the percentage of growth,
okay.
All things considered.
Okay.
So when everybody's dead and when everybody's born at the end of a year, how much did you increase your population?
So almost like you're in a business, when you look at how much your profit was for the entire year, it's the net or gross when it includes the – minus is everything. So net is at the very end, everything
right.
You got after payments and bills.
Correct.
And,
okay. So at 1%, that means if you're – population of humanity has 100 people, at the end of 1 year you would have 101.
Okay.
And then at the end of the next year, then it would go up. It's 1% each time, so as it grows a little bit, but people die, and
right.
So it does include everybody who's dead.
Okay.
So we're starting at the year 1, ending at 3,000, starting a population at 2, and we're going to calculate that out and see that within just 3,000 years, our population would be 6.2 million. Okay.
Oh.
And you can actually click the button that says show subtotals, which is interesting because when you calculate that, it will show you that basically we had 2 people from the year 2 all the way until the year 83, at which point we then added a person. So it kind of, you know, lays it out for you. You can see exactly how many people there were each year.
Hmm.
So at that point, we're looking at 6.2 million. So let's go back now and change that to the ending year of 5,000. Again, remember, we put in a 0.5% growth rate, which is far less than what it currently is.
Right. So we're lowballing.
Lowballing.
Okay.
So when I put in 5,000 years, the population is 134 billion.
Whoa. Hello.
So what this should bring to mind is that the amount of time that humans have been here, I tend to think that in the past that the growth rate percentage would have been even higher. You know, I tend to think that.
Yeah, without, there was no birth control. There was, you know,
right.
People were just boning like crazy, I'm assuming.
Just popping kids out every year,
yeah.
Every 9 months.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it gets pretty crazy because then if we went back and again, 134 billion is multiple times over what we have now.
Yeah, yeah.
Probably, what, 20 times, 21 times what we have now. So if we change it instead to a 1% growth rate, which would be 0.01 in the growth rate box there, if you're looking at it at home, and you hit instead, we'll go to 3,000 years again, like we started, and hit calculate. Well, in 3,000 years, the population would be 18 trillion.
Well,
so
now this is assuming that the growth rate, you know, is
1%.
That's an average growth rate, right?
Which
it could change and stuff like that.
Here's the thing to me is I think that the growth rate percentage is not even true. I think it's more than 1%. Basically, what they're saying.
Yeah, I mean, who's to say? How do people actually know? I mean, there's people that live in Africa that are born every day, and other countries that aren't recorded as living, or even people dying.
Well, the way you figure out the growth percentage is to take a city. Let's say there's 1,000 people. How many people does that city have at the end of that year? Okay, so if there's 1,000 people, 1% growth rate says that they would have 1,010 at the end of 1 year, and then at the end of the next year, you would have. To add 1% of 1,010 is going to be about 10 again. So it's going to be 1,020. And then at the end of the next year, it would be 1,030. Maybe eventually you're going to get to the point where it's going to go up 1,031.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how a growth rate percentage works. To me, I just think that the growth rate is more than that. But even if I take the growth rate as given to me, at 1%. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'll real quick run a search and just see what it says the world's growth rate percentage is. Yeah. But it tells me that the Earth has not been here. I mean, the people have not been here as long as we think.
Yeah.
And also they throw in some craziness like the Black Plague. The Black Plague wiped out 40,000 people. Mm-hmm. And, but they're really having us believe that, like, from the year 100 till 1600, humanity was stupid.
Yeah.
They didn't invent anything. Mm-hmm. They didn't, you know.
Until science came along, then we started awakening. Right.
So get this. We were talking recently. I don't know if you guys have ever seen this, but it's a complete and total farce. Think about how they tell us that perspective drawing didn't come into play mm-hmm. until the year 1600 or 1500, whatever they say. Mm-hmm. And then they show us art older than that, and it's just these crazy figures that they said they couldn't do perspective drawings because it took, I guess, having this enlightenment. That's total bullshit.
Yeah, no, you draw what you see. I mean, that's...
Absolutely. It's a total bullshit thing just to make people think that there was dark ages or there was people that were before that drew like kindergartners. No, people would have looked at the world around them and would have drawn based on what they see. Why would you ever believe that people would not be capable of drawing in perspective? Yeah. Sure, with the geometrical lines and everything.
They couldn't maybe draw perfectly, but they would in general draw what they're seeing.
They wouldn't draw a vanishing point with the lines of the road coming away from it with the building tops aiming down. But they would have drawn as they see things, knowing that people who are further away are drawn smaller.
If they're drawing a nature scene, they would draw a small tree that was far away, and they would draw a tree that was closer to them, a little bigger, because that's what they saw.
Right. But no, people have us believing that they drew the tree that was far away just as big as the person right next to us. That's the art that they show us. And this is what we're talking about.
Yeah.
These are fabrications mm-hmm. of history. They're not historical.
Because at some point in history, there was a group of people that decided to rewrite our history.
Correct.
And have it start from, well, a certain person's birthday.
Yeah. And anything. But I mean, that's so crazy to think about. We always talk about that mm-hmm. they went to zero. Imagine us right now just saying, okay, we're going to change the calendars and let's go back to when George Washington was born, and that is zero. We're watching a comedy special the other day, and he's talking about, well, what happened when they changed the time? What if it was the year four? And you're like, what year is it? And they're like, four. It's like, but I'm 28.
Yeah. That doesn't make sense.
Yeah. I mean, that's not the history they tell us. They do tell us it was changed well after that. But still, can you imagine people would all have a birth date. Mm-hmm. I was born on July 6th, whatever year they said it was. And then somebody just comes along and says, nope, now you're born on this date. What? What happened to my birthday?
So if you were 28, you would now became 4 years old.
Right. You'd have to do some math and figure. No, these things are all fabrications.
Yep.
They're absolute fabrications mm-hmm. put in place by a ruling Vatican who had control over everyone. Imagine, just like we saw in the comedy special, mm-hmm. that somebody was able, you know, Christians say they're so oppressed and that they're put down. And ask
there's
a Christian.
There's a war on Christianity or whatever.
Yeah, ask a Christian, what date is it?
What's the year?
What's the year? And then realize that everybody in the world mm-hmm. goes by the same year, basically,
for the most part.
Yeah, they go by the same year based on what the church said. Mm-hmm. And many people, science included, don't believe in that. But they still go by that same date because of the hierarchy of the church and the, what do you want to call it, their ability to dictate what goes on across the world. That they all roads lead to Rome.
You ask Neil deGrasse Tyson what year it is, and he'll say 2017. Like, okay, well, so 2017 years ago, who was born?
And they said, we're all going through it together. We're all walking together saying, Jesus is one. Jesus is two. Jesus is three. Very funny, very funny.
Oh my God, I was dying.
It was pretty good. And it just makes you think that is what the church has been able to put on top of people. And when we say that our history has been rewritten, then we start looking back and we say, who is the one that went out and told people that there was this universe and that there was these other planets and these places you could go?
Giordano Bruno.
And it was the religious mm-hmm. people. It was Catholics mm-hmm. that went out to all these observatories and started these astronomical unions, and it was them. And that's the craziest thing. And again, this is why I think it's important that I went to a Jesuit high school, because I saw it for myself. I saw them sending me to religion, coming out of that class and sending me to biology and learning about evolution.
Right.
And I said, what is going on here? Yeah. Why am I being taught both these things? Well, what they do is they want you to be dependent on one or the other.
Mm-hmm.
Either you're dependent on science, and so you base your entire life off what they say, or you're dependent on religion and base your entire life off what they say.
Yeah.
Both of them create slave societies.
They give you versions on both ends.
Mm-hmm.
Now there's disinfo, obviously, on both ends. So,
and they hope that if you get jaded by one, you run to the other.
Yeah.
That you,
so either way, they win. So
absolutely.
Then how you get free, you have to find your own way.
You have to be in the middle. And yep. That's what we – let me go back to the population. Sorry.
Okay, sure.
So the population growth percentage – this is crazy. Have you ever seen this world population clock that just keeps running and running and running and running?
That's sad. That just makes life like just look like numbers.
It does make life look like numbers. I agree.
Like someone's dying every time that number goes down. That's crazy to think.
The number does not go down. That's the thing.
1, 2, 3. It went 62, 63, 62. 69, 71, 72, 73, it doesn't go.
Oh, it did go down. I did see it go to 75, 74, 75, 75.
Yeah.
Okay, I got you. I don't see a growth rate percentage here. I must have clicked the wrong link. Okay, it says the rate increase is therefore almost halved since its peak of 2.19%. I mean, if you put in a 2% growth rate percentage, let's go back and just do that for fun real quick.
Just one more percentage up?
It's crazy. So you put in a 2% growth rate. We started at the year one. Let's say we're just going 2,000 years. Okay, so... Mind you, we're just going 2,000 years, the date from Jesus' birth to now.
Or around Jesus' birth.
Around Jesus' birth. at 2% growth rate, we're calculating the population. The population would be 31 quadrillion. That's 31,100,927,992,230,000.
Holy cow.
So this is why if you can take your own information and you can push it through your mind, your brain, allow it to work, then you will come to your own conclusions that do not match what we're taught.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have a choice. Either I can say, well, I'm going to believe what I'm finding by doing research and gathering evidence and looking at things, mm-hmm. or I can believe what science is telling me, which just does not make sense. It does not match what we see in reality, mm-hmm. a population of, 7.4 billion, I think, according to that site.
Okay.
But the growth rate of 2% is probably really high. Let's put in 1,000 years. Okay, so 1,000 years with a 2% growth rate, our population would be 780,000. So let's put in, try and get it to...
Smaller than the population of L.A.
Yeah, so then we'll put in maybe, let's put in 1,400. Okay, so 1,400 years, and we're calculating that, and we're way above now. We're at 2 trillion. So let's back it down. So what we're doing is actually kind of looking at what year might it be if the growth rate percentage of 2 is true.
At least when humans popped into being, whenever that was.
Right. So this is a million billion. So 40 billion at 1,200. Probably a little too high. So
yeah.
Let's go 1,100. And we get 5 billion. So that's maybe 11. Wouldn't that be funny? 11 comes out to 7 billion people.
Whoa.
So if the population growth percent, this is what you need to ask yourself.
Okay.
What is the growth percent of humanity?
Hmm.
What? If we have a certain number this year, what will that number be next year? Will it increase? I think that the growth percent rate is increasing, don't you?
Yes.
Meaning there's more people next year than there is this year and so on and so forth. It never goes backwards.
No. I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
I don't think that's – no. Mm-mm.
So, I mean, even a 1% is pretty conservative. But, again, 2% means that in 11 years that you would already have 7 billion people. So then you need to start looking at what they tell us. They tell us humans have been around, what do they say, 100,000 years?
Something
I think
like
I've heard
that.
Like 3 million at
if
some
you,
point.
Depending on which Cro-Magnon or Neanderthal you want to consider is like
right.
More human than the other. But
yeah, so anyway, that's what is interesting. Like, we just went on that tangent because it's if you really look at that
mm-hmm.
idea, I think you might come to a different conclusion about how many people there are or how many mm-hmm. people there should be at this year. What year are we actually in?
Mm-hmm.
And these are some of the things that we're going to talk to Jordan about because I think it's important.
Yeah.
And when I've looked into the history, as I said, of Flamenco, he makes much more sense than the current beliefs that we are given.
Mm-hmm.
There's much more about what he's saying that matches my reality.
Yeah.
And basically what he's telling is a story of them wanting the 1600s and 1700s to look like a period of enlightenment. that humanity was dumb before that, and because of these foundings of science, that the world was then propelled into, just look at what's happened in the last 100 years. Mm-hmm. That means that within the last 100 years, airplanes, cellular phones, wireless technology, all these things have just been in the last 100 years. So you're supposed to believe that the 5,000 years before that, people walked around in trench coats or big blankets and didn't discover the wheel. And, you know, it's a crazy belief to think that. Mm-hmm. He describes it as, he says Jesus Christ was crucified in Constantinople in 1086. And that ancient Egypt, Rome, and Greece were all fashioned by the Renaissance writers and artists, saying that the time of the pharaohs, so the time of the Egyptian pharaohs, Fomenko says, lasted into the 1700s.
Shit.
So, I mean, and, you know, it may sound crazy to people. It, you know, sounded crazy to me at first. He's got a 7 or 6 book series. This is all done by extensive research where he's going in and looking at sources and basically says that things have repeated themselves, and we've also seen that.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen with Helena, right?
Oh, the Saint Helena?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep,
mm-hmm.
There's name.
There's two, but they're when you go and look her up.
They're the same.
They're the same, and one was 200 BC and one was 400 AD.
One was Constantine's mother,
mm-hmm.
and one was King Izades' mother.
Yes.
Right, and both of them have the same story.
Same story of feeding the famine, or feeding the people during the famine.
Going to Jerusalem, feeding them.
Sharing her.
Her son becoming a convert.
Yeah.
The whole thing is the same story, just repeated.
Depending on who you're talking about or which story it is, then that's who.
Yeah, then you can
comes
find
back
it
to the same story.
Yeah, you can kind of find, well, there'll be different sites about each person, but really it's the same story, just kind of separated.
Yeah.
So a lot of information there. And so we'll be back here shortly. We're going to call Jordan. Mm-hmm. Hopefully he's there. If not, well, then you get to listen to us for 2 more hours. And what is better than that? You know? Nothing.
Yeah. For them, you mean? What's better than that?
Yeah.
Oh, no. Yeah, not much.
Zero, right?
Yeah, I was going to say, for us, there's something better? Yeah, there's something
better. Shh. We don't talk about that thing on the air.
Oh, why not? People want to hear the dirty details. No, they don't.
Maybe on another show. We'll do an after raw. That's what we'll do. So if you guys have any questions for Jordan Maxwell, I don't think we're going to open up the phone lines tonight. So what you can do is send me a private message in the TFR chat. And for those of you who don't know about the TFR chat, go to truthfrequencyradio.com, click the listen live, and then at the top, I believe in the menu, there is a drop down for live chat, I think is what it says.
Cool.
And if you go there, you can sign in and chat with all the wonderful people in the chat room, and then you can send me a private message with a question that you have for Jordan, and if we have time, we will get to those. And if we don't, well, I can send it to him in a message or something and try and get you an answer. But we've got some questions for him. We really want to talk about the New Testament, his ideas of that.
And science, get his opinions upon the current scientific dogmatic situation that
religion.
We have.
Yeah. I want to ask him about dinosaurs.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things that we just want to pick his brain. Mm-hmm. And that's what we will be doing. So we, again, thank you for joining us. And if you wonder why I keep doing this, it's because I'm used to the break coming way early, but I fixed my clock on my computer.
Nice.
So now it's actually in sync with you.
So you're like not being cut off while you're talking.
Right. Now I can actually read that. And when it says 30 seconds, no, I've got 30 seconds left. Usually it gets to about 3 minutes and I know, it's coming.
After 2 years, we finally have learned how to fucking do this.
Yeah. You'd think that it would be quicker than that, but that would be giving me too much credit.
Yeah.
So
that's a lot of credit.
We'll be right back, guys, with Jordan Maxwell. You're listening to Jaren's Monday Night Raw.
Your protection from deception. This is Truth Frequency Radio.
On the weekday, don't be surprised, don't be surprised. Walk like
Welcome back. You're listening to Jarenism Monday Night Raw. And Jordan, are you there? I don't think we have him on.
Oh, no.
I don't think so. Give me one second here. We're going to try and add him again.
Okay.
Add to group call. I just saw him write that he can't hear me.
Oh, no.
So give us one second here. Babe, you want to tell a story or something?
Sure.
Do you have any news or anything?
News? No. But I'll tell my story really quick. Maybe I'll try and tell my quick story about my utter and blatant rejection from my brother's wedding.
Yeah, go ahead and talk
about that. So I have seven brothers and sisters, and one of my younger siblings got married in Montana a couple weeks ago, and of course I was invited. I mean, duh. But it wasn't until I got there that, and it was the rehearsal dinner night or rehearsal night, and everybody in my family, all my siblings, were in the wedding except for me. Now, it sounds weird because I have four sisters and three brothers, so my brother's now wife, the bride or whatever, she had my older sister and my young twin sisters.
Welcome back, everyone, to Jarenism Monday Night Raw. Hopefully we are on the air. We couldn't get a hold of Jordan for a second, but now we got him. One of the best researchers of our time, someone who has been an inspiration to me and many others to begin researching the things that we were taught and to actually look into the world that it's the way it actually is, not mm-hmm. just the way that we are told mm-hmm. it is. And that's Jordan Maxwell. So, Jordan, thank you for joining us. How are you doing?
Good, fine, I think. And I appreciate being here with you. Thank you for it.
Yeah, we'd love to have you. I also wanted to tell people just real quick about your site, which is jordanmaxwellshow.com. And last time you were on, you mentioned the research society that you have created, and we became members. And I want to just tell everybody that it's, you know, one of the best ways you can ever spend $30. It's a one-time charge, and then what you get is all of Jordan's research, and there's new stuff being added all the time, ton of PDF books that I've found there that are, there's a wealth of information there, Jordan. So maybe you could tell people a little bit about how that site's been going.
Yes, well, like you said, my website, because there are other websites out there with my name on them that don't belong to me. So I want to make sure people understand, if you want to contact me, Jordan Maxwell, as my host said, my website is jordanmaxwellshow.com. And on that website, jordanmaxwellshow.com, is my podcast, which I haven't been able to do a whole lot with here lately. But nonetheless, it's a podcast, and on there, you will see a banner talking about a research society website that I have added to my website. So it's called the Jordan Maxwell Research Society website, and you can join it for $30 donation to my work. And basically what that research society website is all of my, over the years, all of my documents and pictures and research into all the dark corners of the human family and the underbelly of human civilization, all the dark stuff about law and government and religion and government and God knows what else, all kinds of interesting and dark stuff that I've been collecting over the years. I decided to put it onto a research website because I was told, I'll try and make this quick, I was told that by my lawyer friends that that there's two of you. There are two of you. There's a private you and a public you. And if you say, if you go out to dinner, say, with about 10 of your friends, and you're sitting in the back of a restaurant talking with your friends, whatever you say in that setting with your friends there in a private, you know, private dinner, as long as your friends don't mind, you can use any language you want and say anything you wish to say, no matter how gruesome it might be. You can say whatever you want about anybody you want. As long as the people around the table don't mind, it's a private conversation. Government has nothing to say about what you talk about in private with your friends. So there's a private you that is protected, that nobody, not only government, but nobody else has a right comment on anything you said around that table. But if you go on the radio or television or go out into the public and start talking the same way that you were talking at the table, now that's different. Now you can get in trouble because government is empowered to protect the people. That's basically what a government's supposed to do, is to protect the rights and protect the people. So therefore, if you go out and start using language and talking about people and using disgusting language, you're going to be, you know, the government's going to step in and do something about it. And so if you want to talk about things which are not generally discussed in public, if you want to show pictures and documents and talk about things that most people don't want to know and don't even know exist, you might want to, because of the technology today on the web, you should have a private website where people have to join. That's the way the law looks at it, so that anything you put on that website only goes to people who want to know, who want to be a part of it, to hear it. And so that's why I'm just protecting myself by putting all of my research now onto a private website that you can join. Now, like you said, it's only a one-time donation to my work, and it's on Jordan Maxwell Show, and you will see a banner that says Research Society. Click on it and join. And I've got a lot of stuff on there already, but I've got over a terabyte. That's 1,000 gigs. Of pictures and documents and audios and videos and links and people and especially research articles on all kinds of dark stuff that people are not usually aware of. So if you want to follow my research work and do it in a private way, well, then just join my Research Society website. And again, my website is Jordan Maxwell Show. com. And thank you for letting me talk about that for a few moments.
Yeah, no problem. It's, like I said, a great wealth of information. And just wanted to let you know, too, that I'm going to give you the information for Naysay is his name. He's the Indian from Minnesota. I think you've dealt with him before, but he says he's got some gift certificates to your favorite steakhouse to give you. So I'll pass you his information after the show.
Just okay, to good.
Yeah. Also, I have a question for you, and this is regarding something that, you know, now I've only been doing this kind of work for, you know, 2 or 3 years, and I know you've done it for much longer, so I'm sure you see it more than I do, but I see it all the time. These people that think because you've looked into the occult, because you've looked into masonry, you've looked into everything, that people put this label on you of, oh, Jordan Maxwell, Luciferian priest. Oh, Jordan Maxwell, 33rd degree Mason. How do you handle those people? And I think it's important because I try and tell people that even if that were the case, there's nothing wrong with listening to the information that Jordan gives, that you should be capable of deciphering for yourself what is true, what isn't, what works with reality. So how do you handle that situation, or how would you talk to people that seem to put that label on anybody who researches Aleister Crowley, that all of a sudden part of the OTO? It's ridiculous.
Yeah, I know. And I get that so much. I get all kinds of emails, condemning me, saying they hope to hell I die soon, leave this world because I'm working for the devil and all kinds of nonsense like that. It's because the church has made people so gun-shy with the word occult. The very word occult is a word which simply means hidden. So if you put your hand in your pocket, by dictionary definition, your hand is now an occult hand, meaning that it's hidden. So, my God, I mean, that's so much has been hidden from us. I mean, starting with our parents when we were 5 years old. There's all kinds of things that we're not supposed to know, or somebody else's business, or not purposely hidden, but it's just none of your business. And so, but then again, the dark side of this world, the criminal side, wants to stay hidden. And one of the darkest spots in the human system today, and the darkest institution today, is religion. And the religious leaders know that. They know that their time is you know, up pretty soon, and the world is beginning to wake up to the fact that the religions are just man-made institutions that have been financed, organized, and directed by the same people who give you your government, your banks, your insurance companies, your laws, and your hospitals and everything else that you live by. Well, the same people who own and run the earth also gave you your religions and your concept by which you live. And so the churches, you know, first of all, the churches know, and I've watched this myself. People do not like to be found to be a fool. People do not like to find out that they have been tricked and deceived, and children don't like that either. In a school, if you're a young person in school and you didn't do your homework and you didn't study what you were supposed to, and now the teacher calls you up before in front of the class and has a problem on the blackboard and asks you to explain it because you should be able to, and you don't know anything about it and you can't explain it, the children are going to laugh at you because making you look like you're a fool. And children don't like to be mocked and laughed at, and adults don't like to receive the same kind of treatment when they when it becomes obvious that they have been deceived and bought into something. And so you will never defend something that you didn't say like you will when you did say it. So if you've been out telling people that you're a Christian or you're a Jew and you are this and that and this is what you believe and here's why, and then one day you find out you've been tricked and the whole thing you thought was true was not, now you're going to have to face the same people coming back down that you stepped on going up thinking that you were right. And so people don't want to admit that they're wrong in public, and they don't like to be found out in public for their indiscretions and also their ignorance of a problem or ignorance of a religion or whatever.
Yeah.
So that being said, there is this idea that if somebody is exposing you and your religion or your belief system, if you cannot handle what they're saying and intellectually come back and show them to be wrong, and prove it, well, if you can't do that, and if there's a gut feeling you have that they might be right, and that's going to make you look like a fool, then the only thing left to do is what we call an ad hominem attack on the person. Mm-hmm. You attack their name, you attack their person, you attack their life and their work. You don't deal with what they're saying about your religion or your institution. You attack them. And so that's a childish thing to do. Mm-hmm. If you don't agree, if somebody is saying something is not true about you, then present your side and let the world judge. Let your 12 people on a jury decide of your peers. Let them look at both sides and see which one they think are right. So if that's the problem I've had is so many times people will hear me and they immediately, because I'm talking about their religion, I'm talking about their government, I'm talking about their city and their country, their laws and their ridiculous religious beliefs, they see me as a warrior and a demonic, depraved, devil worshiping. I'm not a devil worshiper. I'm just an ordinary man pursuing extraordinary knowledge. I always say, and it's a good time to say it again, I always say that I'm not the world's foremost expert on anything. I'm far too well read and knowledgeable to know how much I don't know. So I just say that I'm just an ordinary guy doing the best I can to look at a subject and think about it and use human logic and reason and read and study the reference books, the encyclopedias, the reference books of all over the world. And I've been doing it for now since 1959, which is about 56 years. I've been looking at religion, theology, studying the basis for government, words, terms, the etymology of words, the conceptual ideas of belief systems. I've just always questioned everything. And it's part of being a truth seeker, someone who wants to know the truth. And so let me give you an example of how I got started in this. Back when I was like 8 or 9 years old, I was born and raised Catholic. And in the Catholic Church at about 9, 8, 9, 10 years old, there is a special ritual done for young children from the 8, 9, 10 year old realm. And it's called, what's the name of it? Confirmation. And the idea is it's a special religious observance in the church, in the Catholic Church, where a child at that age goes through a ritual called confirmation, where he is confirmed a Catholic. Which is ludicrous on the face of it to have a 6-year-old or a 10-year-old be totally confirmed in something. I mean, they've just been born. How would they know what they believe, you know? But anyway, so that's the ritual in the Catholic Church is confirmation. So the nuns, I was going to Catholic school at the time, and the nuns told us that they said tomorrow night at church, at the confirmation service, all of you children will be there. And after the service is over, the bishop who is coming here from another city, the bishop will be here with us. And he may, this is what the nuns told us, that the bishop might possibly, after we are confirmed Catholics, he might ask us if we have any questions that he could ask answer for us. And if that happens, we were told, do not ask any questions, period. You don't have any questions, you sit quiet. So the next night after the service was over, we're all confirmed now as little kids, the bishop did that very thing. He said, now that you children are all confirmed Catholics, I will try and answer some questions if you have any. I'll try and answer them for you. And so all the children knew nobody is to say anything. So I stood up to make damn sure everybody knows who I am. I stood up and I said, yes, I have a question. I said, my father works with torches like a welder. And I played with torches before. And I said, if there was an angel here next to me and I had a torch, could I burn that angel with the torch? If I hit him with the torch, would point the flame at him, would that hurt him? And the bishop looked at me as if I had three heads. And he said, "I no, of course not." And I said, why not? And he said, well, you know, fires, and as I remember him saying something to the order of, fire is a natural thing. You have to have plastic or paper or wood or, you know, something that will burn because that's normal on the earth. But you can't burn an angel. And I said, why not? Why can't I burn an angel? And he said, well, because angels are spirits. You can't even see a spirit, much less burn one. And I said, well, then why am I concerned about going to hell where my spirit will burn forever if you can't burn a spirit? And so everybody looked, including the bishop, looked at me like a deer in the headlights. He never saw that coming. And he didn't know what to answer. He didn't know what to say. Well, there was an Irish Catholic priest, a red-haired priest, very red-haired priest, standing near the group of us kids. And he told me, sit down and shut up. And so everyone in the church heard that. Well, there was only probably about a dozen people, adults in the church, which are over 100 people were there. But I would think there's probably at least 10 or 12 adults that caught on right then. Here's a child asking a perfectly sensible, intelligent question of a grown man who's a bishop, and he doesn't know from nothing about it. You know, he had never heard of such a stupid question. And so I realized then, and I have, you know, and I had already realized before, but I was conclusively decided at that time, at 10 years old, that the adults around me do not know what they're doing. They have no idea what they're saying, what they're doing. And it always appeared to me as a kid, as I was growing up, that the adults were like children, but they are grown-up children. You know, they're older, their bodies are older, they've been on the earth longer, but they're still kids. They still act like children. They still get mad like children. They still are insensitive to other children's problems. And so the adult world is much like children. And so nobody is confronting the powers that be and asking some serious questions. And so that started me on my road down into – I always say I started off on the bottom and I worked my way down from there because I have been continually questioning. And the more I question, the more I find out how much I didn't know.
Absolutely.
But I keep coming back to one point on everything I question, and now I finally have it. And unfortunately, I paid a terrible price to learn what I know and to paid a horrible price in my life to do what I've done, and that is to question life itself. I question the government. I question law. I question business, commerce, banking, clergy, everything. I question it all. But I do so with respect and decency and honor. I'm not a radical. I'm not a revolutionary. I'm not a big patriot. I didn't start the truth movement. I'm just an ordinary man pursuing extraordinary knowledge. I've always been interested in where things come from and who started whatever it is I'm involved in. Where did it come from? Why am I doing it? And who started it? Well, I mean, this is the kind of people that the CIA would like to hire, you know, and the FBI, because I just have a natural desire to know the dark side. I want to see the underbelly. Pick up the big rock and see what's underneath of it, and see what the base is. So the basis for everything.
And you may have turned right because that's
it again.
Leaving no stone unturned, because that really helps you feel better about your life and just making sure that you've looked into everything. And Jordan, do you see as I do that one of the issues with today's world is that a few people have seen the issues with religions, and so they run to the one organization that is against religion, and that is science, the great organization of men who only deal in facts and evidence. Mm-hmm. I mean, can we talk a little bit about where the error lies in that belief?
Yes, I do have a definitive feeling about that subject. First of all, I believe that religion should be a science, because religion is what people of the world are basing their life on. They're putting their life and their destiny, their human life now, and the possibility of maybe a life after death. I don't know. I wasn't there. I haven't been there yet, so I don't know. But if there's an idea that there's an afterlife that you will pay for whatever you've done, or even worse, have to come back and do it again, but it's all based on what you believe. But my point is that religion should be a science. It should be something that you are continually digging to prove and to find out, where do you go when you die? How did you get here? Who in the world created you? What are we talking about when we say animate life? And how did we get here? What are we doing here? Where are we in the universe? All of these questions that the great minds of the world have always entertained. That's it should be. Religion is a science to understanding life.
Absolutely. Hold that thought, quick, Jordan. We'll be right back from this break, and we'll explore that a little bit more. You're listening to Journalism Monday Night Raw with Jordan Maxwell. See you in 2 minutes.
Real people, real radio.
Initiating the Truth Frequency.
This is Truth Frequency Radio.
All right, welcome back. You're tuned into Jaronism Monday Night Raw. We're talking to Jordan Maxwell. And before the break, we were getting into the lies and the liars that control the lives of the many. And Jordan, is science a religion, or is it the organization of men who really want to be proven wrong and are open to truth and changing their beliefs and ideas? Or are they as dogmatic as the religions that can be found, you know, in every corner of the earth?
Well, I want to answer that, and I've got that right in front of me, and I'm going to answer that. But let me give you something that I've said on other shows, and some in the audience may have heard me say it. But then again, there may be some in the audience who haven't heard. So I think it bears repeating at this point. Then I want to get back to this question of yours. But if you have a two-story building, you own a two-story building, and you've decided to put some extremely heavy weight on the second floor, like automobiles or printing presses or stuff like that. Before you do that, what you should do is get a building inspector out on the property and go downstairs with a ladder and remove the ceiling tiles downstairs and look at the foundation of that floor, to see if it's going to hold that kind of weight before you go building on it. So what you're doing is you're standing under the foundation that you're going to, you're going to build on. So when you're standing under the foundation you're going to build on, that's where we get our idea of understanding, because you're standing under the foundation. You don't stand on the foundation. You stand under it to see what does the dark side, see what the rest of the story is. I mean, how many people have bought beautiful homes for an incredibly cheap price only to discover that the reason why it's so cheap, it was based sitting right on an earthquake fault. And so, you know, there's a whole science to intelligence. You need to do research. You need to go to a library and read and study and question the integrity of everything. And the other thing I've said, too, is that if you are going to ship a large package across the country or around the world, you go into the garage and you get some rope. You find some rope over in the corner and you tie up the box. And that should be sufficient for shipping it. But if you're going to take that same rope and go out to the edge of a 10-story high-rise and tie it off and hang on the rope yourself, now you're hanging your life on that rope. So you better check the integrity of that rope before you go hanging your life on it. Well, the same is true before you hang your life on your religion or your political association or your friendship or your church or whatever it is you are hanging on to make you feel like you're a part of society. You have your own little church or your own personal group or your social group or whatever it is. But before you go hanging your life on it, you better check the integrity of that institution or that church or that belief system. So the idea is to get behind the scenes and see where things really come from. So, as I said before, religion should be a science. It should be something that people study. Where did we come from? How is life recreated in the universe? Who created us? Where did we come from? Scientists like to put down everybody and say, oh, it's a bunch of bull and we all evolved from cockroaches or something, and so it's not important. Well, in actual fact, they have no idea in the world what's really going on. And so I'm just amazed at how religion should be a science, but today science is a religion. Today science is nothing more than a big church. It's just like the Catholic Church. We call it the science industry. They have their holy writers. They have their saints, the holy men. And whatever the holy men say, and keeping in mind that they're just men like you and I, they put their pants on the same way. They have the same problems with their family, a wife and kids like you do. But they are holy men now. And so now they can speak with authority, just like the Pope. The scientists now speak with impunity. They can say whatever they think, and that's it. And so we poor folks are supposed to lean over and kiss their ring and thank them for all of the wisdom and the knowledge. And then one day you find out 6 weeks later they were wrong. How many times has science given us the definitive answer to something and taught it in the universities and the colleges, and then 20 years later we find out it's all a bunch of BS and it has no basis in scientific fact at all? Why? Well, because we have bigger microscopes now. We have bigger telescopes now. We have we've gained a lot of knowledge through our technology. Now we see that what we were taught 50 years ago about atoms and about life and about evolution, etc., we now know better because we have a better insight. We now understand a lot that we didn't know 100 years ago. Well, I'm here to tell you that 99% of what we understand and know for sure in science today will not be the same 50 years from today. We're going to find out 50 years from today, probably 20, that most of what we today know is just not true scientifically. I've heard all the stories. I've heard the pros and cons in science. I've talked to astronauts, industrialists, politicians, scientists, physicists, astrophysicists. I've heard all kinds of explanations, pro and con, and I know after hearing all of this over the years, for like I said, almost 60 years, I've been talking to people and communicating my ideas and hearing all the ideas floating around the universe. I've heard so much of it. I know that most of what we think we understand today, 25 years from today, will be all laughed at. People will be joking and laughing about what we today in science believe in our teaching. The same thing, they had science programs, 50 years ago, that none of it is true today. So I've realized a long time ago, adults are just grown-up children. And they have their holy place, they have their holy orders and their special schools that they've gone to, which means that they know everything there is to know about everything except what the truth is about anything. And so I have become very disenchanted with science. I see science today. There are some. I would say there's about a dozen scientists that I can name that are really legitimately and de jure and legitimately scientists, people with extraordinarily brilliant people who are doing some work on the cutting edge of mankind, doing some incredible work that, generally speaking, science today doesn't even know exists. And if you bring it up to a scientist, what some of these geniuses are doing, they'll look at you and laugh. Well, they're not going to laugh 20 years from now when we find out that these geniuses, were right. And they were wrong. But you see, the reason why the science industry, like the religious industry, likes to mock and put down other people's thoughts is because we're talking business. It has to do with their income. It has to do with their livelihood and their profession. And, you know, they don't want to look like a fool in front of other people. So if some other person who is far, far more well-read and far more intelligent than they are comes up with an opposing opinion, they don't want to hear it. Why? Simple. Because they've been telling everybody on the earth that they are the world's foremost authority and that they know everything. And now there's some guy coming out of left field who is showing that they are full of crap. All of it is a lie and a deception. And now they're, to me, may look like a fool, because now we're beginning to see that what they believe, everyone's laughing at them now because they bought into something that somebody put into their head. So when you begin to see that the educational institutions are owned, financed, and run by the same secret societies that own our government, our banks, our military industrial complex, secret societies, very powerful people behind the world governments and behind the whole institutions that we live by. Those institutions were designed, financed, organized, and directed by somebody. And you know as well as I do that if you're going to run an educational institution like Harvard, you're going to have a lot of money to put it together and watch it grow and make sure it grows to do what you want it to do. So I'm just saying that science is a religion today, and it's very sad. Because there's only about a dozen really, truly impressive scientists out there. The rest are a bunch of religious fanatics. So yeah. I have no respect, generally speaking, across the board. I'll say it with a wide brush. I, generally speaking, have very little to no respect for science whatsoever. It's just a cheap religion. While there are some scientists who are on the cutting edge of wisdom and human knowledge, but they're mocked and laughed at and completely dismissed as fools. Just as Nikola Tesla many, many, many years ago proven, now we now know it, that he proved that he could feed energy, electricity to the whole earth for free. It comes out of the earth. The electricity comes out of the earth. And he could set it up, fix a situation where the entire world of mankind could have all the electricity they could possibly use for free. Mm-hmm. And the people who were running the banks, the Rothschilds and the J.P. Morgans and the international bankers heard that Tesla was going to give the earth, not America, the whole world, darkest Africa. The whole world is going to have all the electricity they want for free. Well, the international bankers put a stop to that bullshit real quick. They shut him down real quick. They took his money, burned down his laboratory, burned down everything he was building, and threw him into bankruptcy. And that'll teach him to try and help the human race. That's not what the bankers are here to do. Bankers are here to make money. And right. They're not here to help the human race. They don't give a damn about the human race. We're just talking business, like the mafia. It's nothing personal. It's just business. I like you. I like you. I don't have anything against you, but the boss says I got to whack you. So it's just business.
Right.
And so that's the way the world works today. The whole world is a business, Mr. Beal. You know, it's pounds and rubles and shekels and money and lies and deception. It's just an extraordinary story of what has happened to the human family. And today, because of all the business, we humans are now under arrest. The human race is now under arrest. It's as if you have been put, a cop has put the handcuffs on you and brought you to the jailhouse. That's what we are now as a human family. We're in a jailhouse. We have been put under arrest. We cannot speak out and tell the world what we know. You know, if you want to tell the people of the world what's really going on, you can do that. In America, we have freedom of speech. As long as you don't talk about something that you're not supposed to talk about.
Right.
And I know all about that because I've been in radio. I'm talking for years. I've already been told by government people, you better watch your mouth. You better watch what you're saying because we're listening. Government is listening to you. And so I know that, you know, the idea, I was told by a government guy many years ago, I'm not going to tell you which agency he was in, but it was very high. And he just made the comment to me. He said, you know, the reason why we allow people to go on radio and television and supposedly have freedom of speech, normally we don't like that idea of freedom of speech. But we do that for one reason and one reason only. We allow people to talk on radio and talk in seminars, etc., in public because we, the government, want to know how much do they not know? How much do they really know? And what do the, whatever it is they know, we want to hear if they really know something or if they don't. And so as long as we hear on radio and watch lectures and go to colleges and universities and watch what the what the universities are teaching and the schools are teaching, and if they are teaching the people stupidity, ignorance, dim-witted nonsense, then they have a right to speak. They have a right to freedom of speech. But if you happen by chance to know something that you're not supposed to know, then you are looking for trouble. And if you go out and start talking in public, well, I mean, we understand that concept. If you happen by chance to unfortunately be someplace one night and someone is killed by an organized crime kingpin and you happen unfortunately to be there and the vicinity and saw the crime committed, you saw who shot the person to kill them, and it was a very famous underworld character and the organized crime, yes, you have freedom of speech in America. So go out and tell the world what you saw last night. Yeah, go on out and try it. Go out and talk in public and tell who you saw kill this person, and you were an eyewitness because you have freedom of speech. And it makes for good radio. People will love to hear this because it's really intriguing, good radio. But you are in serious trouble. You are what we call a dead man walking, because you know, you have freedom of speech, yeah, except to talk about something like that in public. If you've got any brains at all, you don't do that. And so that's why I have always said that. This whole idea of science and religion should be a science, and science should not be a religion, but that's the way it works today. So that's why today, the more we learn, the less we know. And so, you know, by their fruits you shall know them is a concept in the Bible, where Jesus, there's a group of people came up to Jesus in the scriptures and said that they had some seeds in their hand. And they asked him, what kind of seeds are these? And he basically said, well, why don't you plant the seed and water it, airhead, and watch when what comes up. If an apple tree comes up, then you just answered your own question. It's an apple tree. But if oranges come up, I guess it was an orange tree. So plant the thing and watch what comes up, and then you'll know what it is. So when you're hearing education and knowledge, etc., well, plant it. Let's see what it does for the human race. Let's see how it helps the human family. And then many years later, when you have drive-by shootings, alcoholism, major world wars, violence, all the drug addiction and murder and violence and drive-by shootings and white-collar crime. Well, that's what your religion is all about. That's what the seeds were all about, and that's what they have given us. So by their fruits, you shall know them. Well, the fruitage of religion and government and law and all of these other institutions is very sadly a bunch of bull. It's all made up. It's all smoke and mirrors. It's all a bunch of lies. And now we find out that the people who have given us our system of life on the earth in each country are all connected behind the scenes to secret societies and dark places that you don't know anything about. So when you're asleep at 3 in the morning, they're wide awake planning the overthrow of your country, how they're going to screw you out of your home, how they're going to lie to you and your children, and ultimately have you working for them, and they're going to live off of your life and your sweat and blood. They're going to live off of it and charge you interest on it. So I learned a long time ago when I was a kid, nothing in this world is what you think it is. Nothing. And your laws are not what you thought they were. Your government's not what you thought it was. Your religion is not teaching you what you thought it was. It's really an extraordinary eye-awakening experience to find out how much people don't know. And that's what I'm in the business of doing, trying to help people to realize that your religions, your government, your thinking, your understanding of the world is faulty, and that's why you're in trouble. You know, yep. People are angry now. They're in the streets, and they're rioting, and they're angry. And they're fighting each other because they don't know what else to do. So the Democrats are fighting the Republicans, the blacks are fighting the whites, and Indians are fighting the cowboys, and everybody's fighting each other. Why? Because the human family on the earth, all people, the whole human race is very, very frustrated and angry at the injustice, the stupidity, the ludicrousness of the laws and the injustice in courts. And so the whole human race is tired of this lies and deception and the injustices of the system. So that's why we have a bumper crop of alcoholism, drug addiction, sex, drugs, and rock and roll, music, entertainments, baseball games, ball games, anything to keep the human mind occupied so you don't start thinking too much.
Right, distractions so you don't go looking above you. Hey, a question from the chat room that I think is important. Is there enough time to wake up people to make a difference in the human race, in your opinion, at this point?
Well, you're asking, first of all, for a subjective opinion.
Absolutely, yeah.
this is just my opinion. But when I give you my opinion on anything, it's like a judge rendering an opinion on a court case. I mean, he doesn't come off with off the top of his head on whatever he feels it must be. When a judge renders an opinion, we call it an opinion, but it actually means based on the court's records of 100 years ago, 200 years ago, the Constitution, and what the Supreme Courts have ruled down through the ages, down through the years, and how that law is now viewed, how that crime is now viewed based on all that has come before. If you study it, like that, then you say, well, here's what I think. Well, it's not what you think. It's what you think based on the history of the problem. And so, when I'm asked things like, is there enough time to awake the earth? One thing I would say is I think the earth is already now in the process of awakening. Yeah. And people are now awakening quickly. But I would add to that that that's what people normally do when they're in prison. The guys up at Pelican Island, Pelican Point in the prison, federal prisons, they all wake up in the morning. And so when the whole prison has awakened, now they're awake, but they're still in prison. So you might as well go back to bed because you're not going anywhere. You might as well go back to bed. It doesn't need, you don't need to be awake because you're not going to go anywhere anyway. You're not doing anything anyway. So I'm saying that to be awake implies that you are able to do something about it and change the circumstances for the people and for the government and for the country. Well, the people of America, like the rest of the world, but especially I'm concerned about my own country, the people of America have no power whatsoever to do anything. We can elect and elect, but we can't select. We can only elect. And so the people of America have no power to do anything. We can cry about it and rant and rave about it, but you can't do anything. And the reason why is simple, because knowledge is power. And the people have no knowledge. They do not know how a bank works. They don't know where their government comes from. They don't know what the words mean and the etymology of the science words and terms and symbols. They don't know any of this dark communication between secret societies and powerful people around the world that happens late at night when you're asleep. People do not realize how the world really works. And unless and until you do, you're not going to be able to change anything. We can talk about some of that dark knowledge on the flip side of this hour, because I want to give you some examples of how much you really don't know about the world you live in. Therefore, don't be concerned about changing it, because you're not changing nothing until you find out how it works. So you can't change anything if you don't even know anything about it to start with. Awesome. So that's what I've been trying to do, is awaken people and wake them up to the fact that they don't know what's going on. And it's about time the human race, especially America, begins to wake up for the first time and see what has really been going on in this country. So I guess we can wait and talk about that on the next hour if you wish.
Awesome. We'll be right back, guys, with Jordan Maxwell as he explores more of this world and tells us about his research and the way the world actually is. So we'll see you in 2 minutes.
Wherever you are, make it T-T-T. Truth Frequency Radio.
Welcome back. You're listening to Jaronism Monday Night Raw. We're here with Jordan Maxwell. And Jordan, I know you have the same beliefs that we do about the Bible, that, whatever truth may be in it, it is a work of men, and a device used for control. But when you look at and see what people call the occult and Satanism and the idea of demons, I know when we, read the books of Tommaso Campanella, he was jailed for 27 years and said that he realized God was real when he met the demons. Where do you stand on the idea of Satan and demons? Are they real, or is this something that these higher level elite just use as an antithesis to the idea of God? Where do you stand on that idea? Are we there?
Are we here?
Hello.
Oh no.
Let me make sure people can hear us, because I don't hear Jordan now. If you can hear me, just say yes. We can hear you in the chat, so I can go find out what happened to Jordan. You got tired of hearing the commercial, I'm guessing.
I did too.
Let me see what's going on here.
Anybody in chat saying they can hear us or not? That's really weird.
I don't know. Let me go back and check. Sorry about that. We were expecting to have Jordan Maxwell. So no Jordan, but yes, they hear us. Okay. Let me try and get him back on here. Don't know what happened. People wanted to hear you continue your story.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I think we left off with, when I got there for my brother's wedding, all my siblings, all my seven other siblings were in the wedding except for me. And I don't know if anybody out there has. Oh,
is it? Incidentally, Jordan? I am back now.
All right.
All right. Welcome back.
Okay. I'm sorry. Something happened to the computer. It popped up. You're not on. So now I'm back on. So, all right. So.
Did you hear my
question? The question again. I heard the question, but you just didn't hear me. So I asked the question again.
Well, basically, your beliefs in the idea of Satan, in the idea of demons, because I know for me, I'm on a fine line there where I recognize the lies that are out there, and I often refer to these people that do these child sacrifices and these people that obviously worship. The idea of the sun god and, but they go and they talk about demons and they talk about Satan. I'm wondering where your belief lies in, is there a Satan? Are there demons, or are these people conjuring up things that are part of the human psyche? They're inside them, or do you have a belief in that there is an outside evil force or demon that can exist and take over your soul? What's Jordan's opinion of that?
Well, like I said, I said, but you didn't hear me. That is a big question, and there's a lot to that. And I do have, and I have formulated, only because I've been looking at theology for 56 years, and back and forth, day in and day out, researching the words and terms, and all the experiences are being held all over the world. And so I do have definite feelings about that. So let me try and explain. First of all, the word God is dog spelled backwards. So I don't use God too often because it's just a word. And I learned many years ago, back in 59 and 60, from a teacher that kept telling the class, define your terms. Which I think has always been important when you're talking, especially publicly, when you're talking to people, you should define your terms. Meaning, if you're going to talk about God, first of all, we need to find out what do you, in your mind, picture when you're using the word God? What do you see God as? How do you view it? How do you view that subject? And the word devil. Devil is simply putting a letter D, the letter D as in David, the letter D in front of the word evil, and it becomes devil. So devil is simply a D in front of the word evil, and God has taken an O out of good. So God is good and the devil's evil. But that's the simplistic, but nonetheless, that's a place to start. It shows you that what we're talking about is the need to understand the etymology of words and the concepts. When we're talking about hell, where people will die and they go to hell, where does that word hell come from? Well, it comes from a Hebrew or a Jewish term, Sheol. Sheol, S-H-E-O-L or S-H-E-O-U-L, Sheol. Sheol in Hebrew is in our language today, hell. And so when you ask some rabbis, what is the word for hell in your language? they will say Sheol. And well, what is Sheol? Well, it's basically mankind's common grave. It's just basically your grave. And so that's what hell is. Now, the church has come up with all kinds of misunderstandings and talked about the hell fire because that's in Revelation and it has nothing to do with anything that is spiritual at all because the book of Revelation was never put into the original canon of the Bible. Originally, going back to the original documents that we call today the Bible, the book of Revelation was not in there. It was never considered to be Christian. And it was taken out. It was put in later, and then it was taken out later. Then it was put back in later, and then it was taken out later. So for the last 2,000 years, the book of Revelation has been in the Bible, been out of the Bible, and put back in, taken back out. And the reason why it keeps getting taken out is because the people taking it out are saying that it has nothing to do with Christianity whatsoever. And then I would say, I think you're right. I think the book of Revelation is not a Christian document at all. It has no basis in Christianity at all. But on the other hand, even though I know what it is, I know where it came from, it's an astrological astrology reading, an astrological concepts and ideas that can be traced back into the ancient world. And so we're talking about the New Testament itself is an astrological belief system. I mean, you ask any child, ask any 8-year-old Christian child, where is God? And he will point up there. What do you mean up there? Well, he's out there pointing to the heavens. Well, okay, so God's in heaven. Unless, of course, you're in China and he points the other way. So he's out in heaven somewhere. Well, do you believe in angels and demons? Yes. Well, where are they? And they'll point out there. They're in heaven. And they've come from out there. So when you're talking about demons and devils, I am totally convinced for myself that the ideas that are expressed by the church are not accurate. First of all, when you hear the word Lucifer today is pretty much popularly understood to be another name for the devil. But an actual point of fact, if you go to the reference works, go to the big seminary libraries and go to the big libraries in your university and look up the word Lucifer, you will find that Lucifer is not the devil. It never has been associated with the devil. And even more important than that, we find in the book of Revelation where Jesus says, I am Lucifer. So now we find out that in the Bible itself has Jesus saying, I am Lucifer. So now we find out that there's a dark side of this world, a dark and evil presence, and my God, we don't need to have that proven. That's in your face all day long. There is some kind of a demonic depravity that is not of the human world. It has nothing to do with us. It's extremely evil and very dark, and of that there is no doubt. Now, is it Satan? Well, Satan is simply a word coming out of the old Middle East. It's actually Satan, S-A and then hyphen T-A-N, a Satan. A Satan is an opposer in a courtroom. If you go to court, the person you're taking to court is your enemy. And so your enemy in a court is called a Satan, or one who opposes you in court. And so therefore, anyone who opposes your good nature as a human wanting to do good, but something is opposing that, then that would be a Satan or a Satan. So the very word, the etymology of the word Satan is not understood to be a person. It's understood to be a force, against you, some kind of a spiritual unseen presence, I call it, a spiritual presence on the earth that is opposing the human family. It's causing all kinds of horrors and tragedies and bloodshed, but it's highly organized. It's extremely well organized. So when I hear Christian teachings that say that Satan and his organization are the demons, all his demons under him, there is a modicum of truth in that, there is some kind of an organized conspiratorial apparatus that is obviously behind the world of mankind, that is continually keeping people reaping and killing and drinking and all of the destruction that's going on in the human family all over the world. And now, of course, because we have the better technology, we're now beginning to see it's everywhere. Into the wild mountains of Africa, there's all kinds of bloodshed and violence and rape and pillage and all sorts of stuff going on. So I am totally convinced, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that there is some kind of a highly intelligent, well-placed power behind the world scene that is spiritual, meaning you don't see it, but they are here. Well, we don't see aliens that many times around the world, but we know they're here. Factually, there are other life forms on this earth. We don't know if they're from somewhere else or if they are indigenous to this planet. That's another subject we can get into another time. But what I believe is going on, my belief is, and it's just based on what I've been looking at for all these years, I think what is happening is that there is, in point of fact, a presence on the earth of extraterrestrial, what the government, what the U.S. government calls EBEs, which is extraterrestrial biological entities, meaning life forms that have come here from other worlds, from other places in the universe who have come here. And maybe where they have come from, they can cloak themselves in camouflage of some sort where we cannot see them. Well, we know we can do that today. We have in the U.S. military, there are suits that people can put on that you cannot see them. They become totally invisible. We know that. I mean, I've seen the product. So I know that we can do that. And it's very simple the way it's done. But my point being is that whoever these entities are who have come here from somewhere out there, just as there are different people in your city, some are very, very good, some are regular people, some are very shady, some are murderers, some are vicious animals. So there's going to be all kinds of humans, all kinds of people. Well, I think that this is exactly what's happening in the universe, is that there are all kinds of life forms out there in the universe that we maybe know about at the top of our government knows about, but we don't know. We're not supposed to know. All we Americans are supposed to do is drink your beer and watch basketball and wear yourself sick over Paris Hilton. But but to understand the universe that we've come from and who may have come here many, many millions of years ago, or maybe they're indigenous and we're the ones that just got here. But there are, in point of fact, there is, in fact, a presence on the earth of what we would call non-human entities. And they very well might be extremely, where they come from, they're not bad or good. They are what they are. I mean, you know, a snake, a poisonous snake, a rattlesnake is not evil. It is what it is. You know, dogs are not evil. They're just dogs. So they do what a dog does. Well, snakes do what a snake does. And spiders, and poisonous spiders do what poisonous spiders do. That doesn't mean they're evil. That just means that's what they are. Well, I'm saying that maybe there might be life forms out there in the universe who have evolved over millions of years and have technology that you know, even your God, your vision of God, who can just do anything. Well, maybe that's what they can do, just about anything, because they are a million years in our future. I mean, look at the progress that we've made in the past 100 years from riding the back of, on horseback, horse buggies and horse and buggies to the world that we live in today. Well, maybe just within 100 years, but suppose there's a civilization out there in the universe that is 1 million years in advance of us, and they understand more about the universe and science than we could ever even envision in our dreams. And they came here, and they know how to cloak themselves so that you can't see them. And now, criminals running a kindergarten, the children have no idea in the world who's running the class. And it could be murderers or rapists or killers, but the children don't know. And so they're getting picked off one at a time by these brilliant criminals because the children are not aware. They don't know, you know, they're not understanding what's going on. So I think that when you hear about demons and devils and that kind of thing, I am totally convinced that there is something to that. Yes, I totally believe that there is some kind of an organization of brilliant, intelligent life forms that mean to destroy us. And so I think that they have probably come from somewhere else, or that maybe they have been here all along, and right, we're the new guys on the block, the new people coming in.
Well, that's
Let me
I,
give you an example. Sure. If you go back to the idea of mining, when you're digging holes in the ground way down. Well, in Africa, they've had mines that go down miles into the earth. And they find, miles down in strata that we know is at least, all paleontologists will agree, at the depth that some of these mines go, the strata itself is at least 3.5 billion, with a B, 3.5 billion years old, that far down in the earth. And so when the miners in Africa went down there and dug down that deep, they're finding handmade metal artifacts, strange handmade molten metal artifacts, which tells us, I mean, you don't have to be an astronaut to figure this one out. Somebody was around on this earth 3.5 billion years ago that understood metals and how to melt the metals and form them into handmade artifacts. So somebody was on this earth 3.5 billion years ago, and that is a fact. That's not suggesting that it's ancient. No, it is a fact, because they're finding handmade artifacts in strata miles and miles down in the earth, which we know to be at least 3.5 to 4 billion years old. So
Jordan,
there is a big question there as to what's really going on this earth.
Let me tell you just a little bit about our research and what, we think, and then you tell me what you think the chances are that this can be the case. But, I'm not a believer that the idea of the universe as we were taught is true, because there's not sufficient evidence to me to believe that Jupiter is a planet that I can go to, that Mars is a planet that you can go and land on. I'm not even a believer that the moon is something that you can go and land on. There's not sufficient evidence that I've seen that would prove that. And so,
and I understand what you're saying. I understand.
And so one of the things that you just said that I think is iffy to me is, once you know that science is a religion and that it's a story told by men that they all agree, when you say things like, okay, they dug so many miles into the earth and that they found things in the strata, and that is 3.5 billion years, aren't we just giving in to science? I understand that that's their story, but there's no way that anybody can say that there's evidence that tells us that that's 3.5 billion years, unless you agree to adopt the foundation that science is built upon, which if it's wrong, then all of the studies after that are wrong. So I guess my question, when you say, like, you know, it's a fact that people were on this earth 3.5 billion years ago, I mean, do you think that there's a chance that that's not true and that these other entities, which is something I believe in as well, but they are just they live here as well. They live here on Earth, that I don't think you can travel. You know, I don't think the nearest star is 25 trillion miles away.
Maybe those layers that they, I know that they dig down into the earth, but maybe the layers that they're told, like X amount of layers means X amount of years. I mean, that could be a faulty foundation, if that's what you're saying, babe. It could mean maybe 10,000 years ago. Maybe,
right. I don't know. I'm just wondering what your thought is on that.
Well, here's my point. I understand what you're saying, and and I agree. You have a good point. All I would say is that the mere fact that if you can go down, miles down into the earth and find handmade artifacts, how do you explain that? Well, you explain it that somebody here knew how to mold metal and make artifacts. And today there's a whole science to that. There's a whole genre that's been developed over the years called out of place. Look it up on the web, and go to, first of all, go to the web and go to image. So you only get pictures on image. And then type in the word out, O-U-T, of, O-F, place, P-L-A-C-E, out of place, artifacts. And look at all of the strange stuff that has been found in the oceans, inside mountains, and jungles. I mean, all over the earth, strange stuff has been found that implies that somebody has been here a long time ago and doing things with this earth that millions of years ago, if not billion. And so my point is that I don't care what the, I understand your point of view. What I'm saying is that somebody has been on this earth a long time ago, whether it's 3.5 billion or if it's only 100 million. My logic alone would tell me that if something is 2.5 to 3 miles down under the earth, that represents, I'm not a scientist, but that represents a long time ago. Mm-hmm. Because, obviously it was on the earth at one time. Now it's 3.5 miles down under the earth. So, a lot of changes have taken place on the earth. Great catastrophes, the tectonic plates that we're told about. So there's always been some kind of a dark history to the world of mankind, and that brings in, of course, the whole subject of God, the demons, devils, extraterrestrials, UFOs. All of that is a very interesting, but I consider it to be very important subjects to be scientifically looked at, and rather than just mocking it and laughing at it and walking away because you don't know anything about it. And so if you don't know anything about it, you don't want to look like a fool. So just act like it doesn't even exist, and that way you won't have to try and explain it.
Yeah, I do see what you're saying. Basically,
That's what happens. Uh-huh. Yeah. If professors don't find something in a architectural dig, if they don't find it, or if their college didn't finance it, the architectural, if they didn't have something to do with it, well, then don't bring it up, because it implies that if you had any brains, you'd have been out there and found it. But somebody else found it because you're too lazy or ignorant to go off.
We'll be right back, guys. In the half hour, I'll get some of the questions.
This is Truth Frequency Radio.
No hate. No hype, no fear. Real people, real radio.
Welcome back. You're listening to Jaronism Monday Night Raw. We're here with Jordan Maxwell, and we're going to get into some of these questions that would, you know, should lead you, Jordan, to understand a little bit better where we're coming from. My first question is, do you believe that men have been to the moon?
My gut feeling is no. But if they have, they haven't gone there the way we think that we go to the moon.
Right.
If there is some sort of a higher intelligence in this world that is far better at science than we humans are, and have given us something, some secret on how to get there and how to come back, if that's what the case is, then maybe some men have gone to the moon. But I do believe that there is life on the moon.
But from 1969
there's something there. You know,
right, but from 1969 to 1972, the way that they show you films, those are not real.
Yeah. In other words, they went to the moon with the computers back in the early 70s.
Yeah, I
think that's and they went right through the Van Allen belt, and which would French fry anything except we humans. Who went through it, went right to the moon, then we came back. But in point of fact, I don't think humans have been on the moon. And if it very well might be that there is some life on the moon, but if it is, it's not us, it's not humans. And if there has been humans, then that's a whole story in itself. How did they get there? Because even NASA, in one of their documentaries I was watching, the scientists said, we've been working on this problem of the Van Allen belt. You know, right. You just can't go through the Van Allen belt. It's just not possible. And so we're working on that. Well, if you're working on that, you still don't have a resolution to the problem.
How'd you go 50 years?
Well, then how did you go to the moon?
So this is what it's kind of, you know, opened up for us, is that when you really look into the fact that NASA kind of holds that key to space, that other countries that go, you know, Russia, but they all work through NASA. They all work together with NASA. Once you realize that it's kind of gatekeeping in a way, that's why, you know, we question all of the ideas of space travel. If they lied about the moon and told us that it's because of the space race, but I'm sure in your research you've seen that the countries work together. That during the whole
of course they do.
Right, during the whole idea of the Cold War, right, that this was just a propaganda to scare the American public. And so when you really look at the fact of them going to the moon and showing us the Earth from the outside of it, that's why we challenge even the fact of the Earth being a sphere, because there's some things that would be a case. Like, for instance, we've got this orbiting craft, the ISS, that's supposedly in orbit of the Earth, has been for 16 years. You know, Jordan, there's no 24/7 video footage of the Earth from space, which it's 2017. You know, do you see that as an absolute red herring, an absolute problem, that NASA, who gets $52 million a day, $52 million a day, what has the space industry done for humanity?
We could cure hunger in a day.
Yeah, it would not cost, I think I figured it out once, it would cost like $750,000 to feed the 30,000 children that die a day due to hunger, malaria, diarrhea. And then, you know, NASA would get 51.25 million instead of 52 million.
Terrible.
So, I mean, do you see issues with the idea of NASA, because it is a cult? Everything they do with the Apollo missions, now with OSIRIS-REx, that this is clearly an organization that started with Nazi scientists, that even had, you know, Jack Parsons and had its involvement with L. Ron Hubbard. Do you see that as a possible huge deception that is, you know, kind of blanketing humanity?
Well, I think that you glossed over it too quick when you said you made the point, but you didn't emphasize it well enough, I don't think, that NASA was developed primarily by Nazi scientists who, after the Second World War was over, the United States made a deal with the Vatican. And the Vatican made a deal with the top Nazis in Germany to get them out. And so the Vatican gave the scientists, all of the best minds in German science, and my God, they were incredible. But the Vatican gave to the German scientists and philosophers and mathematicians and the military people in Nazi Germany, gave them money and false passports, and got them protection to get out of Europe completely. With the United States' help, it was the United States, and the Vatican, and the leaders of the Vatican and United States operation were all belonged to a Catholic order called the Knights of Malta. The Knights of Malta was a secret society within the Vatican, within the Catholic Church, very, very wealthy, powerful people in Europe that most of us don't even know exist. But they belonged to a secret society in the Catholic Church called the Knights of Malta. And so many of the German and Nazi officials were Knights of Malta members. So many of the officials in the OSS, the Office of Strategic Services in America during the Second World War, were all members of the Knights of Malta, a Catholic Vatican operation. And after the Second World War was over in 1944-45, the Vatican Knights of Malta, Catholic Vatican Knights of Malta operations started collecting up all of the scientists, philosophers, all the great minds and brains of the Nazi Empire, and giving them false passports and money and arranging safe travel for them to come to America, to go to work for America, or in Mexico, sending a lot of them to Central America and South America, to Argentina, Brazil, Uruguay, Paraguay. The whole Nazi movement was financed, organized, directed out of Washington, D.C., and London, and the Vatican, and my God, what a story. I mean, there's so much out there on this one subject. It could take a year. Just read all of it.
Yeah.
So NASA is actually a Nazi operation. The whole thing is Nazi. And so if you don't understand that, you don't understand the Knights of Malta, then you're never going to understand what's going on around the world right now today in the Middle East. And the wars that are going on right now as we speak in the Middle East has to do with the very highly financed, highly intelligent, and well-financed organization of the Nazi Party today. So in the Middle East today, with Syria and all the other things in the headlines, we're talking about the re-emergence on the earth of the whole world, Nazi world movement. And the Vatican is behind this. And so there's going to be an extraordinary exposure one day. It will come out who is really behind the wars and all this stuff that's going on in our country and around the world. And you're going to find out it was not who you thought it was. It was the Vatican, Nazi world movement that did not die, but came out of the war just as healthy as it went into it. And they have the money, the connections, the brains, the scientists, the political connections. And today they run NASA and they run the country. And it's just an extraordinary story of betrayal that most people have never heard of before. But that's what I think NASA is all about. I think that NASA is doing something that the Nazis want, knowledge that they want. When you look at what the Nazis were doing in the Second World War and what they believed in their belief system, they were trying to contact, and they were said, there's so many documentaries and our books have been written about the fact that the brains behind the Nazi Party, who were the actual international banking elite, they wanted to have some kind of a connection with the other world, off-world entities, for lack of a better term, alien presence in the universe. And these very bright and profoundly brilliant scientists and astronomers, et cetera, in Germany and in the Nazi Party were heavily involved in trying to make that happen for the Führer and for the German people to connect themselves, their country and their people to an extraterrestrial biological entities, looking to the heavens for real power. And mm-hmm. so that's what's going on today. And okay. all you need to do is understand how the Nazi Party is operating today out of Uruguay, Paraguay, Brazil,
Argentina.
Especially Argentina. It's a big story. And then throw into that mix the NASA being nothing but a pure Nazi operation. So, that's a big story here.
Propaganda piece as well. And that's obviously from, the Germans and the idea of mind control. They came over, and if anybody's going to mind control you, it's going to be, the guys who know how to do it. And you already answered this, but, as much as we hear about the Jews and their control over everything, the banks, entertainment, are you also a believer, though, that all roads lead to Rome?
Well, I know that there is no doubt in my mind a connection between a segment of people that we call Jewish. Mm-hmm. But I know that there is a very big problem in using that term Jewish.
Right.
It is very, very, it's filled with landmines. So when you're walking through theology and talking about Jewish, I would say a good 95% of everything that we have been told about the ancient Jewish peoples and the ancient Israel and all of that never existed. There was no ancient Jewish people. There was no ancient Israel. There was no King Solomon, King David.
Right.
No, none of that ever existed. It's all a very big story, but none of it is history. So we now know that there was no ancient Israel. There was no ancient Jewish people. And so it now begins to look like there's something else going on here. And the Nazis were on the cutting edge of it.
Absolutely.
And so what we call Zionism today is something else, and it's not Jewish. This is a very, very big subject, and it's not to be covered in just a few minutes. It's a very big subject about the Messiah, about world government, about God's kingdom, the astrological implications coming out of Babylon and the Egyptians. So it's a very big subject, and we could get into it. But now you're talking about theology and religion. Boy, what a story that is.
We could talk to Jordan every week, I think, because we're in the same boat.
Just have a separate show where Jordan is on for
the Jordan and Jaron show. because we have the same beliefs in David and Solomon. Once you look back and see that these are all stories, not actual historical fact, and that's the one thing that people have a hard time, getting through their heads, that it's a possibility that this book, which we know that humans write books, that somehow this book may not be divine.
They're the hardest ones to talk to.
It's a very difficult group of people to talk to.
Well, and the reason why, like I said, because people do not want to have to look at something that they have bought into and believed and have fought for and stood up for and put money into and donated large sums of money and give grandmother's house and grandfather's business and signed it all over to the church for the good of the Lord Jesus, and then come to find out that there was no Lord Jesus,
right?
That there was no ancient Israel, that there was no King David or King Solomon. None of this was true. It's all just a story. And now people waking up and find out, well, wait a minute, you mean we gave grandmother's home to the church and we willed the grandfather's fortune to the church? And we've given everything, every week we give money to the church and supporting it. And now you're telling me the whole thing was an organized crime. None of it was true. And we bought into that. Well, it shows their ignorance, their ill-informed, uneducated ignorance that they bought into something like a child. And so people don't want to have to face that in public and say, I guess I was so ignorant and drinking my beer and watching a ball game that somebody really highly intelligent fooled me and successfully deceived me and the whole nation I live in. And the reason why the nation was deceived is because people have always liked being, loved by their fellow man. Nobody wants to be an outcast in society. Children want to be accepted by their peers in school, and young people want to be accepted and by their peers in college and universities, and the police want to be, a policeman wants to be accepted by his comrades, firemen and the fire department, they want to be accepted as one of the on the team. And lawyers will protect lawyers, and doctors will protect doctors, and people are in different organizations will protect each other, because it's just a human nature. So yeah. we want to be liked and approved of, and part of our, we're part of this, the world, and we are respected. And then when we find out that all of the wonderful people that we've been following and listening to all of our life, and all of these people we've given our time and our effort and money and all kinds of, time and effort to our friends and to our religion, to our country and to our political party. And now we find out the whole thing is a crock of bull. All of it. It was all dreamt up by organized crime. It was dreamt up and by highly intelligent people who have too much time on their hands because they're so wealthy. So they're just sitting and planning how they're going to rip off the human race. Well, whoever these people are, they're pretty damn smart because they have pretty much ruined the whole human race on the earth. They got people in every country hating people in every other country.
For no reason.
People, people in every religion hating everybody else in other religions.
I tip my cap to them all the time because I just think it's masterwork what they've done. But what you're saying there is exactly what I believe, but I turn it on the idea of space travel, on the idea of space, that this is something that people can never get because they've all invested all of their mind to it, that they've shown us these planets, they've shown us this idea of the universe.
We were in kindergarten.
Since we were, the idea of the globe, that this whole thing is a – is a mental construct because the idea.
Of course it is.
So, we even question, the very ball that we're told we live on, because when you really start digging into it and you get told things are scientific, where's the scientific evidence that things pull to the center of the earth? That if that's just, there's no evidence of that. You can't replicate that in a lab.
And the whole idea of a ball in space, it is a subconscious mindset to make you feel unimportant,
insignificant,
and your life here is not important. To think of things that are, not important. So that's kind of a mind control basis too, I think. So
No, you're right. I totally agree with you. We only have a few minutes left. I wanted to give you an example, give the audience an example of when I say, and I know everybody's heard me say it many times, that nothing works the way you think it does, period. Nothing. I want to give you a quick example. In commerce and in business, suppose this is an example of how we've been misled in commerce and business and banking. Suppose I have an office and I want to have somebody paint my office, and you're a painting contractor. So I call you, you come over, see what needs to be done, you give me a price, and I agree. You come back and you do the job, and you tell me that it's going to cost $100 to paint my office, and I agree to it. Then you come back and do the job. When you're through with the job, the way it works, because you're a licensed contractor, when you're through, you give me a bill for $100. And so now you're expecting me to pay you $100 because that's what the contract was for. And so I open my wallet and I pull out a $100 bill and I give it to you. And now you're happy because I paid you. I paid you cash. Yeah. I paid you for the job. But in actual point of fact, lawfully, I did not pay you at all. I didn't pay you anything because you gave me a bill for $100 and I gave you a $100 bill. If you had given me a bill for $20, then I'd give you a $20 bill. Get it? When you have what is called a Federal Reserve note, what you call paper money, that is a bill. And it's passed by Congress. It's a congressional bill. and they're always passing bills in Congress. So the money that you have is just paper, so you have not paid for anything. What you have done is you have, what's the word? You have not paid a bill, but you have discharged the debt.
Mm-hmm.
So when you discharge a debt, you give me a bill for $100, and I reach in my pocket and I give you a $100 bill. If you had given me a bill for $20, I give you a $20 bill. And so what I've done is I haven't paid you anything, but I've discharged the debt. Like when you walk across the carpet and touch a piece of steel and you get a sticker shock, you get shocked. And so when you walk into Sears to buy a pair of shoes, you're going to sign a ticket, and you're expected to pay the ticket. Just like when the cop gives you, stops you, he gives you a ticket, and you're expected to sign the ticket and to pay it. And so once you understand that you don't pay a bill in America, you discharge a debt. And so that opens up a whole can of worms as what is a bank? And why do you have to put money in a bank? Well, where does the word money come from? And what do you? Why do you have to put it in a bank? Well, what is a bank? A bank is on both sides of a river. It's called river banks. Mm-hmm. And what does a river bank do? It directs the flow of the currency, because your money is a liquid asset. It's a ebb and flow. That's why people will tell you, my God, people, you know, money goes through your hands like water. No, money is water. It's the cash flow, the liquid asset. You know, and you're underwater if you can't pay your bills and you can't pay your house, it's underwater. So that's a whole story about maritime admiralty law, banking, how you own and don't own. And so, you know, the bottom line on this, I'm just showing you that in America today, anything you think you own, you do not, in point of fact, own. Anything. You don't own your home, your car, your children, nothing. You don't own anything. Why? Simple. You never paid for it. You right. just discharged the debt with a piece of paper. You didn't pay anything.
That's why you're the guardian of your children. You're not the owner.
Yeah, but the point is your children are born under international maritime admiralty law because right. because the mother the mother's water broke. And the baby was in water, and so the water broke and the baby came out. Well, according to international banking law, that baby is a maritime admiralty product.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a human, it's not a man or a woman, a boy or girl. It's a it's an international product. It's in the body, your body and the body of your wife and husband and children. All physical bodies of humans in America are on the stock exchange in New York. You are on the New York Stock Exchange, and your body is being bought and sold by the bankers in New York. But you don't know that. You're not supposed to know that because it's not important. Mm-hmm. So all you need to do is go out and play ball and drink your beer and watch TV. And don't worry about how somebody actually, in point of fact, owns your children. You don't. Right. You don't own your home. You don't own your car. You don't own anything. Period. I mean, I could sit here and talk for 8 hours just on that one subject of how the world really works. And people have no idea in the world what I'm talking about. And I could talk for hours on the subject because religion, government, banking, commerce, law enforcement, education, all of this stuff was dreamt up during the Middle Ages by some very powerful, clever, and I think demonic people who have put upon us a whole police state now, and we have no idea in the world how it works.
Jeez.
And yeah, we don't know how to get out of it because we don't even know what we're in. So that's the name of that show.
Real quick before we go, the JordanMaxwellShow.com, you know, check out his research society.
Sign up for it.
Sign up for it. It's a great site. And, yeah, Jordan, you've opened my eyes a ton and so many other people. And, you know, maybe you could listen to the show because I think I might help you open your eyes that I think there's one more deception that is even bigger, and that's that I don't think we live on a spinning ball in space. I think that's just another one of the many tricks of the Middle Ages by putting that into school books. The Masons have, you know, figured out another way to, like you've said a million times, knowledge is power, and any way that they can keep you dumb and blind to where you live, why you're here, who put you here, what's the point of us being here, where did we come from, as many times as they can get you to not know the truth, it's just more power for them. And you're absolutely right. They're demonic. They're evil. They don't give a damn about you or me. And I love what you do because I can tell in your research that you do care about people. It's the same as my wife and I, that we do care. We do want, and majority of the world, they are good people. There's nobody in other countries that want to come over here and kill me. It's my gut.
Of course.
They would tell me that there is. So thank you so much.
And it's, you know, it's actually even in the New Testament where it says that Jesus said, you know, happy are you when people lie about you and call you names and attribute all kinds of evil to you because you're trying to tell the truth to people. So that's what I have had to deal with, is people lying about me because they can't stand what I'm trying to do, is to wake up the world.
Yeah. You really appreciate